The John Barnett Cancer Fundraiser taking place June 8th at BAM Arena in Strongsville, Ohio. Come on out. Support a great cause and a great man. Helping out the family. Again, there's going to be some good payouts, great fundraiser, 50-50, all that jazz. You guys know the drill. So why don't we rally around this one? Everyone, get your tails out there. Support a great cause and just have a great time on June 8th, again, in Strongsville, Ohio. We want to give a quick shout out to our favorite bag company, Dragon Bags.
What's up?
You guys have literally changed our life and our game.
Yes. Because
let me tell you, I've never scratched the surface of a 9 until I started throwing those bad boys. And I'm almost there.
Still clawing.
7-2 is close, right?
Yeah.
No, but seriously, we love the feeling of their bags. Great people. And I think you, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't own a set.
It's some of the hottest bags on the market for a reason.
Exactly. Just hop on the bandwagon, see what you're missing out on over at dragonbags.com. Drop code BIGASP12 at checkout and get ready to let it rip.
Cornhole it. Big ass cornhole.
We hope you throw it straight. And nothing but four baggers from here on out.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. I feel like you're disappointed.
Dude, I thought
a little bit, sorry.
We had the connection.
Dane's wanted me to do this like little, like when the song, like the intro song goes Big Ass Cornhole, he wants me to, like,
no, don't even say it. It's our special moment.
I'm sorry,
I missed it. And Sean,
my hand was just in my pocket. Like I'm sorry. Like
you made eye contact. You knew exactly what I was
like,
going
okay,
for.
I thought we were just having a moment, but all right. Anyways, yeah, welcome back, folks. Sean and Dane are here, as always.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to. All right.
What?
So let's just jump right into it. Dane, do what you do best every single week. Let the folks know what we're sipping on tonight in our favorite segment called What You Drinking.
Ho ho! What you drinking?
Well, Sean actually brought a beer over. So.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Anyways.
But hey, Fathead's Brewing. It's the Juiced to Jupiter Tangerine IPA. And guess what, people? It has a tangerine flair to it. And Sean, apparently, the man, brought this beer over, and he doesn't so much like the taste of tangerines, do you, Sean?
I thought it was going to be... Okay. There's a picture of a tangerine on here, but it kind of looks like an orange, right? I mean, they're very similar.
They're in the citrus family.
I guess they do have slightly different tastes, though. I found out, like, it's okay. I'm just not, I thought it was going to be more orangey, but it tastes more tangerine-ish.
Yes, but it's 6%. And
it's not bad. It's fine.
It's one of those, maybe, as you sip it, you'll
appreciate
it. I mean,
I'm
going to
finish, like, the six-pack.
Yeah, I know,
but, like,
you will. He's a trooper.
It might not be, like, a do-over for me. We'll put it that way.
That's okay. But cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing beer.
All right. So we have another dose of Audio Gold planned for you all today. The first ACL National of the year is complete. So we're going to break down the results and discuss the headlines coming from the kickoff battle. We have bags review. Up today are the newest bags by 2 and Cornhole. We have dramatic readings. And it's time to adjust our power rankings after everyone out there was chirping. All right. And I listen, we're going to go over it. And I'll even let you know who was in my DMs this afternoon. Just letting me know, like, hey, just I want to adjust that shit. And then at the end of the episode, we're going to be joined by the Dynamic Doubles team. Made an epic run. They're going to be on the broadcast in 2 weeks. Gavin Cano and Fisher Hamilton. But before we get into anything else, we're going to bring you what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
If you're in the market for a new set of bags and you find yourself, you're just getting into cornhole, you're feeling a little awkward. Some might even say you get like that black sheep feeling. Well, there is a company out there for you. It's called Black Sheep Baggers. They have professional made cornhole bags, pretty much a bag for every kind of thrower. If you want a carpet bag, they got you covered. They want hybrid, you got it. Herringbone, sentenced, what? Go with it. All right, go to blacksheepbaggers.com. If you use our code BIGASP, you're going to save yourself some money. If you're looking for like a smaller template, slightly fuller bag, good balance, good feel, you're going to find everything you need at Black Sheep Baggers. So go to blacksheepbaggers.com and grab your set today.
Do it.
All right, so I got to test out the new golf clubs finally.
Yes, you did.
Took Dad to the golf simulator on his birthday last Thursday. My short game's still there. I'm just, again, it was just one of those things, but I'm happy I swung enough to, you actually kind of helped kind of put my swing back together.
Yeah.
And I think I've been trying so hard for those at golf. I've been trying to shallow out my swing for whatever reason. I don't know why. I think I want it like aesthetically pleasing or something, but I was pushing everything and slicing everything.
Sexy.
But as soon as I quieted my lower body down, believe it or not, like it was, everything was good, but irons feel nice. I just didn't hit them very well, but, I'm excited, man. Just ramping up. I mean, the trip to Arizona is flying up, man.
That it is. I'm super excited. Yeah, I mean, you like the feel of the clubs?
I do. Yeah, I do. They're very similar to the old set that I was having. They're just a little bit lighter. So I'm just used to when I would get my hands through, because I'm a very wrist, like I get a lot of wrist action, like at
contact.
You can
tell that you've used those wrists for a lot of vigorous activities.
I have, a lot. But yeah. I feel like the old set was a little heavier, like weighted, like in the head of it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if there's more tactile feedback. I just got to get used to just like, a comfortability kind of thing with
some. Well, you're also clubs, but hitting clubs that are fresh, man. Like,
yeah,
you'll know when you flush it.
Oh, exactly. And that's exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm happy with it. For me, that I've swung clubs like twice this year so far, I'm happy with it.
I actually got out again today.
Did you really?
Went up to the driving range real quick. Yeah. Amy was out, still at her parents. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to drive right up and hit a large bucket real quick. And, you know, rip through 60 golf balls in about like 35 minutes and then turn around, went home. Like,
when you go to driving range, do you have a plan or do you just want to just hit?
Every time I go, I usually only do a large. Like, I don't want to do anything in this, like anything over 70 is too much.
I'm completely with you.
Yes. I'm like in the 60 to 70 range, and it's, I go up and I always start with my 9-iron, and then I go up through the odds all the way to 3-wood. Come back down through all the irons with the evens, but you start back up with like, you'll have the 4-iron.
I got you.
Working your way back down. And then before I hit the pitching wedge, I go boom stick and grab the driver. Only hit 5 drives.
Okay.
And then finish it up with the pitching wedge and like sand wedge.
Okay.
And even if that's like still 20, I usually just like swing until it feels good. If I hit like 3 or 4 in a row, right off the rip, I'm like, all right, that club's perfect. Like, moving on to the next one.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
Like, not going to do that again.
If I hit 2 in a row, that's good. I'm like, all right, well, this one's obviously amazing. So I'm
going to. Yeah, it was really weird. My 7-iron of all clubs was giving me issues today. And it was pretty much the only one, but I corrected it. I ended up in like 20 balls with that thing. But I was very happy. But yeah, also threw some bags because I was just a free boy. So
I threw bags just actually like a few hours before I was over here.
Yeah, me too.
We have a bunch of bags that we needed to get notes on. I was outside for, listen, even my wife was throwing with me. I've been doing the show for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I think this might be the second time in 5 years that she's ever thrown bags. And I was just sitting, I just set up a set of boards on the sidewalk. Kids were playing. I'm like, listen, they're being good for 10 minutes. I'm going to try to get some stuff in. And she just wandered over and just started throwing. Now, the one remark that she does make, all right, that I do think is important from a female perspective, is she's just not a fan of the designs that come on the bags. Yeah. She's like, doesn't anyone like do like nice artwork on bags? Like everything's always like skulls and like, yeah, I mean, no, these, she didn't mind these.
Yeah.
She liked these and she liked Grayfin.
Okay.
But this is not a shot. We also have new swag bags in.
Yeah.
I love the design. It's psychedelic, little graffiti art. Like, it's very much my, like, that's what I like.
Yeah.
It's not very her, much. Not yeah, her not her. Taste. And so I try to explain to her, I'm like, it's not what you want. It's what the people that are buying the bags want.
The mass consumer.
You can get a custom set if you want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you got to pay more.
Damn Skippy.
But you know, she's always like, oh, it would be nice, like, if the kids could throw cornhole bags, but, like, they all have, like, and she's not a big fan of, like, our Wahoo logo, but. It's fine. It's either worked way, out well for us.
I like them.
Yep. We like it so much. It's like all over the place.
Exactly.
Speaking of golf, just while we're still on the subject, so we can kind of pass over that. We mentioned it last week. Big Asp Open. Put it on your calendar. It's going to be September 21st. It is a team event, Top Golf and Crew Cup. You're going to get breakfast, lunch, Top Golf, and a cornhole tournament. Free non-alcoholic beverages. It's going to be a banger of a time. We are going to have a limit on the team. So I think we're limiting it to 100 teams. So we're going to open registration in June. So just be on the lookout for that. We'll have a link for the registration. You sign your team up, you pay the entry fee, And we'll be in contact from there, just letting you know the rules and when to show up and all the details and stuff like that. But we, or if you're out of town and you're like, man, Cleveland's kind of far, we are going to have a block of hotel rooms yes, for the event as well.
Working on that right
There's
now.
There's going to be stuff going on Friday night, and we're trying to play in golf on Sunday, obviously weather depending. But if nothing else, there is going to be tons of cornhole out there as well. So if you happen to be a golf enthusiast and you love cornhole, this is basically, this is a great opportunity for you to come out and
heck yeah,
show off your skills on both sides.
Skills.
On both sides. I got to go out with some friends.
What? You saw the world?
I did.
Wow.
So my wife worked all weekend, mm-hmm, right? So long days, right? And I, you know, try to keep busy with the kids and stuff. So Saturday, my wife calls me, and she's supposed to get out at 4. She calls me at like 3:30, and she's like, hey, I'm like wrapping up. I'm like, oh, cool, you're getting out a little bit early. And she's like, yeah, but we have a one of our best friends has been going back and forth like from the Middle East here. So it's like part of his job. So he's gone for 2 months. He's home for a month. When he's home for a month, we try to get together with him a few times. She's like, Pat's, and they're all doing like a bar crawl downtown. I'm like, sweet. Yes. My wife's like, I'm going to go meet with them for a little bit. And I'm like, oh, that's sad. And she's like, but when I come home, like maybe you could go out afterwards. I'm like, that sounds like a tag in, tag out kind of thing.
Yeah.
She enjoyed herself for a good, you know, 2-3 hours, and then came home and I helped put the kids to bed, and I went out for a little bit, but it was nice just to get out. I realized though, like there's some bars though, like the younger scene stuff, just I'm getting old, man. I'm just like, I just.
Which part of Cleveland did you bar crawl?
We were in Lakewood.
Oh, okay. Were you West End?
No, we're Madison. So yes, West End, kind of. Yeah. Let's consider West End. The way down. We ended up at around the corner.
Okay, so yeah, that's West End.
So we were at $2. We're at Mars Bar. Can't remember where else we hit, but like all down Madison, we hit up a few of those.
Okay,
and then we ended up at around the corner because there was one of the bands, the popular ones. I can't remember who was playing.
One of those bands.
Well, you know, it's you.
Carlos seen Jones.
Nah. But yeah, it was fun to get out. I don't get to, you know, hit the night out in town very often.
Funkadelics.
No, but I also had to, I had to somewhat behave myself because I had to watch kids Sunday, and there was a large group of us, and like everyone was like, oh, we got Ubers. And like Pat was standing there. He's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just walk. I'm like, I'm not, fuck, dude, my car's right there. I've had 2 beers. Like, just get my, I had car seats in the back. And I also took Rob Lombardo, who's like a taller dude.
Yes, he is.
So Rob's like, I'm sitting up front. Fuck you, Pat. You're skinnier. So Pat had to sit in one of my kids' car seats. It's only like a 2 or 3 block drive, but it was fun. But
that is funny.
Besides that, I watched a decent amount of cornhole. That is the one perk to when my wife does work on the weekends and I'm watching the kids.
Yep,
I can have it on in the background. Yeah. So I had either the ESPN Plus or I had something going on my phone or a tablet, just kind of keeping an eye on everything. So when I was watching it this weekend, I'd always just kind of have my phone next to me, mm-hmm, and I just like to jot down random stuff so I don't forget like what I'm thinking at that time. So I figured before we go over like everything else, why don't I just go over some of the things that like I just jotted down throughout the whole thing.
It's time for Sean's Thoughts.
Oh, thanks for that. All right. So I started off with watching the teams broadcast. I think the teams broadcast was Thursday night. It was Florida versus Georgia. So just some of the things that the first thing I wrote down was during the Clemmer Holland and then Rawls Patterson match.
Hang on. Did they cross the line? The Florida Georgia line?
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Anyways, Patterson rookie.
Yes.
Looked so nervous, like, and that clearly affected them in that game. One of the other things I wrote down was unorganized scoring. It kind of was like a really unprofessional look. There were several rounds, like in the beginning, like the first 3 matches of it, where there was a bunch of mess on the board, mm-hmm, and like the score didn't get updated till like close to like them finishing up. Like, it just needs to be a little bit sharper. Like, you got to have someone on there that's updating that right away. I will say throughout the day this weekend, the live stream stuff was super choppy.
Yeah,
and I don't understand why. It wasn't like so, it wasn't unwatchable, but it looked at times like
it was so clippy.
It was like, yeah, it was like, correct. It like the bag you would think it was sliding at the board, but like it would start on the board and it would be like just resting.
Yeah, like you wouldn't see any kind of rotation. It was like the bag just kind of would like Skid Up and Stop on a Dime. Like, yeah, it was very.
And I know last year or previously they've had four different streams going, you know, one for each bracket. Mm-hmm. It didn't like they obviously didn't do that. They had two live stream courts going this time. That was, I mean, it was kind of a downer a little bit. But I don't know if that was an agreement with the ESPN Plus stuff. That's what I'm thinking,
maybe, though.
Maybe like, they didn't have enough bandwidth there or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's, I'm just interested to see if that's going to be the staying point going forward. Obviously, the other thing is, you know, paying people to be like commentators on those two other courts. You know what I mean? So if they're trying to condense like their broadcast team. So it was Trey was there. Allison Baldwin was there. Jake, Wally, they had Sean Latham on for a little bit. Some of the combinations I was a bigger fan of than others. Others I was not a fan of when they were together. Sean Latham, it needs to be paired with someone like appropriate. Like I feel like Sean Latham needs to either be with Trey or with Wally.
Something that keeps him in line a little bit.
Not just that. Like I feel like Jake is, he's really good at, like, I think I'm a big fan of Jake Brain. I like what he brings to it. I like the chemistry he has with Wally, but I felt like with Sean at times, it was almost like he didn't know how to handle him. Like, cause Sean just is, I mean, he's a professional comedian. He just comes at you and he's off the wall with some of the stuff he says. So like, you have to kind of like play into it or just be like, and I just felt like Jake at times was like, holy fuck, what's this guy talking about? I just want to talk about this kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Let's see what else I wrote down. I also wrote down just one of the brackets first guy. I thought Richards got an absolutely brutal draw.
Yes.
He got a really tough draw. Just from being like, you know, former like number one. You know what I mean? Like just it was not a fun draw. And obviously it was rounders.
Yeah, he did not play well in rounders.
I get
it. It's gonna kill you.
Birchfield and Hissner out. It went 1-2 and they were done.
Yeah.
I wrote down Gavin Cano looking like the best player in the world right now.
Pretty damn close.
And then I put Fisher is super talented, but he just has bad rounds and digs himself into a hole. So one thing I noticed about Fisher is that the dude's phenomenally talented, but every once in a while he has these rounds where he gives up big points because he makes the same mistake like three or four times. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes if you miss a bag left, the next common thing is like, oh, you'll miss it right. Like you're trying to correct it. That can happen to anyone. I get that, the left and right. But there was at least twice I saw on the broadcast where he missed like all four bags left of the hole or all four bags right of the hole. It's just like something about, I don't know if he just needs to like take a step back, like reset, like do something, but like just to get out of that headspace. But he's still very talented. Oh, obviously, they made the broadcast. Oh, 100%. 100%. Anything else I wrote down? I guess we can talk about it now. Gore and Soto, they called for an official.
That they did.
Their match against, it was
Stout
and Gravin.
Yeah.
I noticed it right away. I didn't think anyone was going to call just because the match was so in hand for Soto and Gore. But Stout was definitely, he was doing the step over line, which is fine again, but the back foot was not staying planted. And towards the end of the match, you can see Soto was getting a little bit annoyed by it. And then he ended up walking over and asking for an official. The official came over and he warned Stout. The first time he threw a bag, Stout's back foot lifted up and he got warned. Second bag he threw, Stout had the same. It was like Stout had no idea what the rule was, which was kind of interesting. Like no one's ever like told him. And like it didn't seem like he knew what he was doing wrong. Yeah. He's like, I thought like we can step over kind of thing. So do you think this is going to be something that we're going to see more common, players calling for officials? I mean, they're putting in the officiating program. So this is good. We would expect this thing to be policed more often.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've heard about more complaints out there in this one with ticky tacky rules and stuff, because let's be honest, this shit's getting serious now.
What I didn't want to see is I didn't want to see people giving Cano and Gore shit for calling him over, because again, like whether or not it should have bothered Soto, or I mean, he was doing just fine.
But I think some of the thing with it was just how obvious it was that it's just like, dude, come on. Like, well, the other thing is,
if everyone else has to follow the rule,
yeah,
you should probably have to play the same way too. Exactly. Right. You know, take any competitive advantage you can get. Like,
I'm okay almost wondering if Stout thought it was okay to step over like the old rule where he could step over as long as like a foot stayed planted.
And I believe someone also called for an official against Trader at some point. I'm not sure who it was. I can't remember. I don't know. I can't remember if it was Hissner or what, but somebody called it against Trader, but no one made a big deal of it because no infractions were called.
Yeah.
Trader takes it to the very limit, but he does keep that back foot planted the entire time and in contact with the ground. So he's fine. But people are starting to watch for the things like
that. But does the toe drag count that he does?
I mean, it sounds like it's staying in contact with the floor long enough to make it look like it. I mean, they're not zooming in and throw, you know what I mean? We're not throwing like the little yellow rope out there and zooming in for a replay.
Hope to God they have some sort of, the officials need some sort of yellow flag or something to throw to call it an infraction.
Yeah, it can't be a flag though. We got to think of something better.
No, I mean, I do like the rope from Dodgeball. That's always good. What if it's just like a
corn on the cob?
That would be, yeah, I mean, it is yellow. Just chuck it right in the center.
Might be on something there. Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into these results.
Is it ready? Or are we primed?
We're primed.
Thanks for your thoughts, man.
Thanks, man. So they're just random little tidbits I was writing down.
It's kickoff battle. How your brain works.
Singles. Jeremiah Ellis, Adam Hisner, Braden Wilson, and Gavin Cano all win their brackets, and they're going to be facing off in 2 weeks. I don't know if the matchups have been posted, but when I was looking up seedings in the bracket overall, it looks like it's going to be Jeremiah Ellis and Adam Hisner going against each other and Braden Wilson and Gavin Cano.
Yeah.
I'm not confirming that 100%, but if they're going by seeds, I think that's how it works out to be.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but
we'll find out. Ultimately, it shouldn't matter. So Jeremiah Ellis continues his tear, as does Gavin Cano. The difference has been Ellis has finished somewhat recently. Cano has consistently won his brackets in all these opens. He just hasn't quite jumped over.
Gotten over the hump.
When I'm watching that, even in the doubles match, right? So we'll talk to him a little bit about this later. Gavin looked like the alpha dog in that double.
Oh,
like he just
sure.
looks
yeah.
confident. Like he knows the bag's going in the hole. He has progressed. I didn't think he was going to be able to progress like this as much as he has, but he looks like he's looking like Tony Smith did like a year or two ago, where everyone's like, dude, this guy is clearly one of the best players, if not the best player in the world. He throws that kind of bag and it looks like the confidence is there. I mean, I think this could be one of those seasons for Gavin lining up. Unfortunately, Jeremiah Ellis is there, who arguably is the hottest player in the world right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
I think really those two alone are standing head and
kind of the
shoulders
the peak right
one.
Now. Yeah.
Now, if Ryan Trader would have made it in the finals, I think, all right, yeah, you got to consider him as well. But he didn't quite make it there. Yeah. Right. So second in the bracket, just like we were saying, Ryan Trader, your boy, Logan Chamberlain, who made an excellent run. Cody Henderson coming out of, I don't want to call it retirement, but like just
left
showing
field.
Face again.
Yeah.
And Jacob Trzynski.
He was throwing very well.
Jacob Trzynski, arguably, I think, was almost like the most impressive dude on the day.
Was,
I mean, he had
really
to win
well.
Some really big matches. He beat Tony Smith head to head. I mean, which is a big deal.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And I was worried because he started off the open season so well. And then I felt like I just didn't hear his name. And maybe that's just because he wasn't traveling as much. But whatever it is, he locked in and he's a gamer, man. Like he
100%.
He comes in there. It's almost like, it's kind of like a Ryan Smith vibe I get with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he takes this very seriously. Like, he's not taking for granted. Like, he considers himself, like, a professional athlete, and he's going to do everything he can to kind of excel in this.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised to see him doing so well.
Hell yeah.
And it's a big mental hurdle. Get over the guy that ever, you know what I mean, that left, that, I mean, broke the partnership, but was very successful last year.
Yeah.
Decides to go another route. So it is kind of
a little fire that ignites it. And
little feather in his cap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's nice. It's a nice career win for Jacob. Ryan Trader continues to be just a real issue on the boards.
Yeah, he is as good as advertised. And like we said, he's doing stuff that maybe Hicks has fallen short of.
Because to me, if you finish
level.
In the top four in a bracket, you're one or two games away from winning the whole thing.
100%.
And one or two bags gone different and you win the whole thing. So Logan Chamberlain, again, man, he just looks destined to win a national in singles.
He's
throwing very well.
Right now.
Cody Henderson, it was really nice to see him come out. I know we'll get into it a little bit in the dramatic reading section, but Cody Henderson was just being Cody Henderson.
For sure.
He's gonna bring a little bit of the OG mental aspect into the game. And it's just whether or not how much you're gonna let it affect you. We're gonna talk to Fisher about that. I'm interested to see what he says. Third in the bracket, we had Sammy Soto, Alex Rawls, Fisher Hamilton, and Ethan Walker. Pretty, again, I mean, the second in the bracket, through third in the bracket. Just big names going through there. I'm a believer now in Ethan Walker. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know if he just got hot at a few nationals, but the boards were tacky. Now, if they're faster boards, I don't know if we see the same guy.
Yeah.
But from what they were explaining on the broadcast, this is year two on these boards.
Yeah, so
they're going to be playing on these boards all year until next year. It'll be slower. A little faster. So I'm thinking Ethan Walker is going to be a big problem for a lot of people. Finishing third in his bracket isn't a step in the right direction, and people forget like. He had a really good rookie season last year. Yeah. He just got overshadowed by a few people, mm-hmm. but he was in the conversation.
Yeah. And then I just want to point out too, we kind of breezed over Soto, but like,
oh no, I was getting back to him.
He basically validates everything we've been saying about him throughout this national. I mean, he's just, man, dynamite. The kid can just hit crazy shots and like bounce back too. He had a tough loss and then came right back and battled through. I mean, it's impressive to see at his age. Like,
it helps too because he's coming from the TCL.
Yeah.
And again, typically, if you're successful in the TCL, it's translated very well over into the ACL. It was a good first showing for Sammy Soto. We'll touch on him in doubles as well. But again, obviously, he wishes he wins the bracket, but it's a good start. If we're looking at it, we had two rookies make the finals in singles. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, it could have been him, but we kind of glanced over Braden Wilson. Holy shit, man. We tried telling everyone he wasn't getting quite as much hype as like Ryan Trader and Sammy Soto. And part of it's me. I've said before, I didn't know how young dudes typically show up, but I drafted him on my fantasy team for a reason. Braden Wilson's really, really good.
I heard way too many great Texas players telling me like that the kid is just built differently.
Dude, he's really good, man.
Yeah.
And again, we've seen him play like Ryan Trader head up in the juniors. You know what I mean? Like, we know how good the guy can be. So Braden Wilson is good to advertise. I didn't want to gloss over that. Adam Hisner has been throwing fire again, winning his bracket. It was just bound to happen. This is probably the first time in a long time though that he's had this much success in singles, putting a whole bracket together.
So for those of you at home, that did put two people that I drafted in this final, for singles. So I had Ellis and Hisner.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh, good for you. I didn't have anybody, so in the singles.
Not looking good.
All right. Fourth in the bracket, Eric Davis.
How about it, man?
At one point, listen, we said we wanted to see it.
Yeah.
He just hadn't shown it in a long time. At one point in the tournament, I'm thinking to myself, Eric Davis might be the best player in the country again.
Dude, tacky boards, man. They're going to play for him. The entire season, it seems like. So
another year, Eric Davis seems more mature. He seems a little bit more relaxed. He seems like he's playing a little bit smarter. The problem is the guy can hit every fucking shot. Like, no bag is safe on that board when he's throwing it. Mm-hmm. That I feel like sometimes he lets that get to him, but he's as good as advertised. If you were listening to the show last week and we were telling you to put money on him in a shootout, I hope you listened.
Yes.
Because he's not there in just in singles, but he also made it there in doubles. Okay. So he is the real deal in that round limited stuff. He can just score so many points in one freaking round, and he can just stay consistent enough the rest. And it's really tough to beat in that round limited stuff.
Hell yeah.
Other notable names in singles. Jamie Graham takes 24th, tied for 24th in his bracket. Caleb Batson, a disappointing tied for 25th. Those are two of the bigger names that I fully expected to do well. Again, national number one. You don't want national one to be the one you have to throw away.
Yeah.
But with guys like this, sometimes it's like, all right, we're just getting back in the grind, getting our feet wet. We'll get rocking and rolling. Are you nervous at all about those two?
No.
Okay. I'm not yet. I'm not sounding the alarm. I watched a lot.
Away,
so. I watched a lot of Batson throwing.
Yeah.
He looked a little rusty. I think he's going to be just fine though. Like he's very steady.
Sometimes he'll shake off little cobwebs.
Jamie Graham, I didn't really get to catch any of his matches on live streams and stuff, so I don't really know what was going on. I'm going to chalk it up to just he caught a few people that were playing really, really well.
Yeah, and again, maybe he wasn't expecting the speed of the boards.
Now back to back nationals.
Yeah,
where you get 24 or 25. I'm worried, but if they bounce back and tape top four in their bracket next time, we're
trending good. In the right direction at the right time.
We had Justin Burton Jr. had a quiet fifth place in his bracket.
He really did. Yeah. Didn't, I just saw him when we were scrolling through the list. And I'm like, oh shit, JBJ. All right.
I don't, it's something about coming on our show and then it translates historically well going into nationals. Trey Hunt, sixth in his bracket, at one point was just tearing people over with one arm, one eye, one heart.
Just
Matt Guy tied for 18th. Tony Smith tied for 11th. Mark Richards tied for 13th. I mean, Ryan Windsor tied for 41st, who looked at times like he was trying to figure something out. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Windsor was stepping. Like, he had a new step throw.
Yeah.
He abandoned ship on that. Cause it,
yeah, he went all tiptoes.
Because then by doubles, he wasn't stepping anymore. Yeah. But even, I watched the entire, it was Eddie and KB versus Windsor and Creek Killer. Creek Killer is really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It just strikes me like he just doesn't get out and throw as much as some of the other guys. But you watch it, once he gets into a rhythm, he's really fucking good. It was Windsor who really seemed like he was struggling out. He was really fighting some stuff. He had a lot of bags hanging up and forced himself to chase. And listen, the guy can drag an airmail with the best of them. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for some of those, the match would have been over way faster. But they blew a pretty significant lead. So,
yeah, I mean, it's
Eddie and KB got a little lucky, but
I put a little more like of a siren on Windsor doing a 41st and seeing the same thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, another surprising one, high finish. Jordan Power took 49th.
Yeah, he did not have the best.
I want to give credit to Jordan Power, though, a little bit, because he went 0-2, but then where most people just fold in, like those, what do they call them, the stack games?
Yeah.
Dude, he went undefeated in the stack and went and climbed back into it.
That's how you become a pro again. That's after grit. Yeah,
100%. Exactly. So now, even if God forbid, he has to keep this one, it's not nearly as bad as it could have been.
Exactly.
So you battle back, you go 4-2, win some stack games. I mean, the stack games are more important now than ever with how much talent there is.
We've been preaching that forever. Like those stack games, once you get into them, that's the difference maker between you getting your pro card next year and not.
So a few other names, I forgot to read off the rest of the fourth in the bracket. So we had Eric Davis. Fast Sem is a sniper that everyone needs to keep his eye out for. This guy shoots a high PPR, throws slick side down. Him and Kaylee Hunter have already had some success in doubles. Mm-hmm. Fast Sem is showing that he's not going anywhere this year.
He slides him in, man. Pours him in.
Again, and I mean,
if these boards are going to be slow, that can play into your favor, too. Just throwing wicked fast packs.
Landon Bass already showed us this year in an open how good he can be, and in juniors. Yeah. Just, the kid's
he's
phenomenally money, good. Yeah. As advertised, took fourth as Brecken. Alec Rione, same thing. We know the peak that Al can get up to, but he typically does well on sticky boards.
Yeah.
The boards are all going to be slower this year. I mean, now, mind you, it was in Florida. Humidity is going to be a little higher. Yeah. So will this be the tackiest boards? Well,
Once you go to Colorado, it might be a little different story.
I'm assuming so. Maybe they're not as slow. But if they're staying on the same boards, it'll be interesting to see how they play.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on to doubles. We had Smith and Wiedenfeld, Smith and Richards, Kano and Hamilton, and Rione and Walker all won their bracket. Again, we'll be facing off 2 weeks from now. Smith and Wiedenfeld, again, they looked like there's just something clicking.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound weird, but like just dynamic wise, it reminds me a little bit of like an Eddie and KB thing going on.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Ryan's going to be mad at me for saying this. An older, more mature guy pairing up with somebody a little bit younger. You know what I mean? Like to be like the mentor kind of guy.
I'm telling.
And we watch Ryan Wiedenfeld throw, and he is just fucking around sometimes.
Dude, yeah, it's butter, dude.
And he looks so relaxed. Like, he was having a good time and smiling and just, like, because they had to come back and beat Soto and Gore.
Yeah.
Soto and Gore were on one.
Yeah.
And we'll get to them in a second. But tip of the cap to Smith and Wiedenfeld. They kept the momentum going into this national. And it just shows that the people that are typically hot going into it typically do well at the national one. Very true. Like, it's not rocket science. Second in the bracket, or I guess sticking with like Smith and Richards.
Yeah, I mean,
ho hum. They did what they should have done, right? What everyone expects.
Kind of, you know, cleaned up their singles mishaps, I feel like.
Yeah, I would have been very concerned had they not come out and won the bracket. And I'm saying win the bracket.
Exactly.
I wanted to see them come out a little fiery, come out and dominate and take care of and be like, listen, we'll be fine. And listen, they took 11th and 13th. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to happen. And listen, Mark Richards lost to Tony Smith heads up.
Yeah.
In like the second round. He had to go battle his fucking way back. Again, that's what you're talking about, grinding.
Yeah.
Those are the bags that no one's watching. You're not making the broadcast. Mm-hmm. No one's watching, but you can go there and finish up. So it's... The first national was a little bit of a mess, but I love it. So I think it's going to be very close this year.
I mean, I think a lot of people really struggled during the rounders.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I mean, just seems from like the rankings.
Kano and Hamilton might be the best team in doubles right now. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I think if we said Kano's probably the best player right now, so it makes sense.
Out of everyone in, out of the, all the doubles players, I mean, to me, we'll find out when we go over our power ranking stuff, but I think Kano's,
yeah,
I would rank him the highest right now. Second in their bracket, Gore and Soto, Lopez Jr. and Bernisette, Clemmer and Holland, and Rawls and Holland. So I would say Rawls and Holland, I'm not surprised. I expected this from them. I expect them to be a top 10 doubles team. Yeah. Like they're both really good. Derek Holland is just too consistent, and Alex Rawls is too talented just to not make deep runs every single time. Gore and Soto, there were some question marks going in there. Mm-hmm. Who was the better team? Gore and Soto or Gore and Thorne? At early on, I'm thinking Hunter Thorne was throwing so fucking well. I didn't think it was going to be. I thought Gore and Thorne were going to see them win their bracket.
Yeah.
They fell off a little bit. But Jackson and Sammy. Jackson wanted to make the broadcast so bad. You can just tell posture-wise that they were always like nervous anticipation when they were playing Smith and Wiedenfeld.
Yeah.
Like they wanted it so bad. Like any little thing that wasn't going their way, it just seemed like it was compounding consuming them a little bit.
Them. Yeah.
I do like the fact that they are mature enough to call timeout when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
Call timeout. Hey, let's focus up. Like this is what we want to do. But there has been a little bit of question mark dynamics when it comes to like shot selection. They had a few like, hey, I would rather do this. What should I do? So I'll be interested to see if their dynamic stays consistent. But again, taking second in their bracket, it's a really good start for Soto being a rookie,
yeah.
Gore being a young dude. So I think they'll have a lot of success.
Well, I think they'll learn each other's games a little more as they keep playing. So
correct. Just Lopez Jr. and Bernisette, they're going to be a team that they're, and I love Steven Bernisette. They're kind of boring to watch. I mean, they're going to slide a lot of bags in the hole. I'll be very honest. When I saw the boards were playing this slow, I wasn't expecting to see like a slide first team up there.
But if you throw a slick enough bag
and you hit airmail, it doesn't fucking matter. So they're going to be troubled this year. I think they're going to be a very underrated team going in. Correct.
Sure.
I mean, again, they're a team that has, you know, top 15 potential, I think.
Yeah.
Duncan Clemmer and Josh Holland. I had no idea what the fuck to expect out of this team. We know that they arguably talent-wise, pound for pound, they might be up there with like the best of them, like top five.
Yeah.
But we just didn't know if they could put a whole tournament together. They came damn close.
They sure
did. Second in the bracket. I'm interested. Can they keep this going? Can they stay hot, or was this just a one-off?
We'll see. You never know.
All right. So third in the bracket, we have Carson Getty and Hunter Thorson, Corey Gilbert and Dean Norton, and Eric Davis and Matthew Sorrells. So Matthew Sorrells continues as a pro to just somehow do well in doubles.
Yeah.
He's just steady Eddie down the middle. And partnership wise, it makes sense. You have Eric Davis, who's kind of the scorer, right?
Yeah.
And you have the Sorrells, the kind of the pace guy. Mm-hmm. You know, just go out there. I'm going to try to throw as many four baggers as I can, just pour bags in the hole. And then you have Eric Davis, who can just create points. Again, they're a team that not many people were talking about going into the season, but after National 1, I mean, you have to put them back in the consideration.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Corey Gilbert and Dean Norton are very entertaining to watch.
Yes.
Fortunately, they got a lot of broadcast time, and people got to see just how entertaining Corey Gilbert can be. But then Dean Norton himself, like, they just have a really cool dynamic. They're fun. They have fun, and they're not afraid to tell each other how it is.
Yeah.
And it clearly, when you're having fun and you like through returning the bag,
good TV.
Yeah, man, it worked out really well, and it translated directly into success, which you'd like to see. So, other team third in the bracket, Vincent Frisch and Austin Cameron. This is a team I want to talk about. Two young guns. Vincent Frisch was bell of the ball going into last year. Yeah, like everyone was like, as a rookie, like Vincent Frisch is going to, like, as a PDC player, Vincent Frisch made it out every time. Was just kind of the dominator. Won, beat Jamie Graham at a national.
Yeah. Didn't he win an open or something too?
Yeah. He just never quite flourished as much as his potential could. You have Austin Cameron, who's a rookie this year. If you are a cornhole honk, you will know the name. Austin Cameron is a young dude. He is a straight from ACO, mm-hmm. who had already had a lot of success in the ACO and who is widely considered a very top-end talent, yeah. right? This team is very fucking scary.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I want to see one more go at it before I'm like ready to say like this team is But yeah, they are good enough to have
knocking on the door for sure.
Top 15, top 20.
And I know we keep being a dead horse with the slow boards, but plays right into their game.
Yeah, so I was super impressed. I like seeing him. I'll be honest, they kind of I didn't know how well it was going to go just because, again, this is Cameron's first like ACL, like big time event,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like you go into opens, it's just not the same feel. But these two put it together, and I think that they're not going to go anywhere. I think that they're going to be problems for the rest of the year.
For sure.
Other notable teams I had. So you had JBJ and Chamberlain. They took fifth. Kamba and Zachline took fifth. Halbert and Drzezinski took seventh. Ellis and Hart took eighth.
When you had team of the year, still take fourth in the bracket.
Correct.
Eddie G and KB.
Gore and Thorne took fourth.
And Hicks and Trader. Hicks and Trader. Yeah. I mean,
again,
two games away.
Young dudes, like pairing them together, have not historically had tons of success in doubles.
But in this day and age, you don't consider that success?
Making 100%. It to that point? Yeah, I do. Okay. I 100% do. Like I said, same thing holds true in singles and doubles. If you place top four in your bracket, to me, it was a successful weekend.
For sure.
One or two bags go the other way, and you find yourself in the semifinals or making a broadcast.
Yeah.
So all those guys. Ian Cripps had himself a weekend, though, man.
He did, man. He's only, again, playing better and better since his...
Since almost, 2 years ago, when he almost
insurmountable
didn't qualify.
Odds yeah. came back and qualified. The kid is just, I mean, that was like the kick in the ass he needed, apparently, because he is just, he's fun to watch. And playing with Mike Harvey.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I was like, I forgot that they were playing together.
Yeah, me too. I think they were the highest finishing, I think they're all cornhole, right? So I think they were the highest finishing all cornhole team. I mean, not that it like really matters, yeah. But just interesting. Women's singles. Tidbit, how about Sarah Cassidy wins over Cheyenne Bubenheim?
Look at that.
Sarah Cassidy continues to do really well when it's like women's events.
Yeah.
She historically has not had like tons of success like in the pro singles, but when it comes to women's events, she's all, like, you have to consider her in the top three or four, right?
For sure. Cause she just pours bags in.
Like, yeah, she's very good.
When she locks in and her switching feet still throws me off.
Yep. Women's doubles, you have one of our favorites, Deborah Odom, and she was playing with Bella. And they're going to be facing off against Sarah Cassidy and Elizabeth Tennyson.
I like it.
Yep, should be a good match.
I like it.
So this weekend was a little bit confusing because I don't know that they did a great job explaining how many events were going on.
Yeah.
So you had what we just talked about was pro singles, pro doubles, women's pro
stuff. We'll
call
that nationals.
But now they also had the shootout stuff as well.
That they did.
So the shootout winners were in singles. You had Tony Smith, Ian Cripps, Jeremiah Ellis, and Eric Davis. So Eric Davis, again, just continues to be an issue in these pro shootouts. Mm-hmm. Like just round limited stuff just does very, very well. Tony Smith doesn't surprise me, especially with him playing with a slightly faster bags. If he just tells himself, all right, just 10 rounds.
Yeah, 10 rounds, done.
Just 10 rounds. But get through 10 rounds. Pour
Jeremiah
bags
Ellis,
in the hole.
I mean, we're talking about best players in the world right now. I mean, correct. He's definitely there.
And Ian Cripps, again, just had an excellent weekend.
Heck yeah.
Doubles was a little bit surprising. We had Carson Getty and Hunter Thorson. You had Eric Davis and Matthew Sorrells. Again, if you were listening to our show last week, you're welcome. You had Shibby and Landis.
Love
seeing it. And then you have Frisch and Cameron. Now, all those teams are primarily slow bag type guys. It doesn't shock me.
Yeah. No, not at all.
So again, all these finals of these are going to be in 2 weeks. I'm not a fan of it. I would love to know who the champions were.
I think
2 weeks makes a huge difference, and it really shouldn't. I get that they're all pros, but when you're on one that day and you're just feeling it, we've all had those days where we step out to a board and we just don't have it. I hope that doesn't happen.
I know, because they got to be good matches. Like
they need quality
matches.
If you're making us wait, they got to be there.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, like some of the team stuff, like I want to like the team stuff. I really want to. But when it's round limited, it's fucking boring sometimes, man. Like if the matches aren't good, then just like
people just aren't fiery enough with it. I feel like
it's not that, again, if the matches were close every time and like it was coming down to like the last few bags, then the anticipation, like it's cool. Like, but when some of these matches, like, they're down by 8 and then they're doing airmail only, you can't do that on a broadcast.
No.
Like,
gotta,
I do really feel like
it
doesn't look serious.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. All right, sweet. So that was the recap. But now, last week we did our power rankings. I think it's time we got to upgrade these, man. It's time.
I guess so.
Before national, and then obviously we'll update them again after.
Yeah, I was not prepared for this, so I'll just.
So I kept on our power rankings from last week. So we'll start with singles.
Let's.
Last week, if you go back to our graphics, I had Mark Richards, then Tony Smith, Jamie Graham, Alex Rawls, Jeremiah Ellis was fifth, Gavin Cano was sixth, Ryan Trader seventh, Caleb Batson eight, Jacob Gore nine, Devin Harbaugh at 10. Okay.
Okay.
There's going to be some movement, and I think there has to be some movement after this weekend.
Just a bit.
My new number one player is probably not going to be a shock. I'm moving him up from five into number one just because he's the hottest player in the world right now. Jeremiah Ellis is my number one power rank player. And number two, not far behind. And I had both names written down and I crossed them out.
Are you
and
writing them down?
I have it on my little
Oh, you got to write mine down.
I will. Number two is Gavin Cano. I think he deserves it right now. I had him six going into this, but he just showed that, listen to your own advice. Like, yeah. Go with the hottest players then listen going into the Nationals. Heart. Gavin Cano is playing like the best or second best player in the world right now. He deserves the number two spot. Number three, I put Tony Smith. I have him over Mark Richards. I did not have him in that case the first time, but he won the head-to-head matchup, and he did finish in 11th compared to 13th. So, to me, if I'm going by rankings, we have to go with our latest sample size. I'm going to put Tony Smith one spot ahead of Richards, who I'm going to put at fourth. Ryan Trader, I'm going to move up. I'm going to move him up to fifth. Again, I think that taking second in his bracket, he proved to me that he belongs there and he is as good as advertised.
Yeah.
Again, one or two bags goes the other way. He can find himself in the final. Number six, I'm moving Jamie Graham down to six. I had him at three. I just want to see it again. I'm not ready to drop him out of my top 10 because we all know as soon as I drop him out of top 10, he's going to go win the fucking national or something.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move him down to six right now. He could very easily slide up to one or drop out if he has another showing like how he did last time.
Yeah.
Then we have number seven. I move to Alex Rawls. Again, he had a very solid national, just wasn't anything wow, but he's still a top 10 player. I mean, you can still make the argument that he could be a top three player in the world, but right now.
He didn't have a bad showing at this national either.
Correct. Number eight. I'm moving I have a brand new player, Logan Chamberlain. He deserves it. Second in his bracket. I know he didn't make the broadcast. But just leading into this, he was one of those guys probably in like 11th or 12th for me.
Yeah.
It's time he moves up after that showing. I think he deserves that spot. Number nine, another new player, Adam Hisner. Again, he did not have the double showing. We all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in singles is what we're rating right now. Man, it's tough. It's tough to leave him off the top 10 right now just because of how well he's been throwing recently.
Fair enough.
And number 10, another new name. I'm putting Ethan Walker at number 10. He made a believer out of me. It was one of those guys that like I didn't have a real good sense for, but after watching him this weekend, like he's really fucking good. And this is his second year, and this might be like he might be that next guy that like I had like with Gavin Cano and Devin Harbaugh. Like once they just fine tune just a little bit and get over that hump, like he's going to be a lot of trouble. So he's kind of on that trajectory. So to me, he takes that 10th spot. The only other names I was really considering on there was. I think Jacob Trzynski deserves at least an honorable mention.
Yeah.
And Sammy Soto. I think that, again, if we're just going pure talent, again, not just finishes, but putting everything together, I think you got to maybe consider him there. And then Eric Davis. I think it's a little early. I want to see him do that more than one national, but again, he's on the radar again.
Oh, for sure. All right. I'll rapid fire him.
Do you remember what your order was last time? You want me to pull it up?
It's okay. I'm just going to reorder him right now for you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, number one, I'm going Cano.
Okay.
Two, I'll go Ellis.
Oh, really?
Three, I like your spot for Tony Smith.
Okay.
Just because, again, of the head-to-head.
Okay.
Four, Richards. Five. Yeah, I'm going to go Trader here.
Looking very similar.
Yeah. Six. Six, I'm going to go Fisher Hamilton.
Okay.
I just think he's throwing really well. Seven. Seven, give me KB. I'll keep him in the same spot he was in.
You keeping him in there?
Yeah.
Who is your sixth?
Six was... Oh, God. Who did I throw in there?
Was it Chamberlain?
No. Rawls?
Was that who you said? Yeah. I'm asking. I didn't
Rawls
hear.
Rawls at six.
Okay. Then KB.
KB at seven. I'll keep Chamberlain at eight, actually, too. Nine, I'm going to throw Jamie Graham.
Okay.
And then rounding it out at number 10. Yeah, I'm gonna get another rook in there. Give me Soto.
You're putting Soto there?
Yeah.
And I know I'm not talking about Brayden Wilson and stuff, and I know he made the broadcast. Again, he's on the radar.
For sure.
I just want to see it again. Like, I've seen enough of a sample size of Sammy Soto to be feel comfortable.
Exactly. Like putting him in that situation. He's just throwing very well, and we all know how.
Now, if Brayden Wilson comes
script.
Out and wins,
yeah.
Guess what? We're coming out with another top 10 next week.
So exactly. It doesn't matter.
After the national, after the finish. So it could very well change.
That's why I was really hoping that we would wait till the finish to do all that.
No, that makes it more fun. All right. So for doubles,
Dubles.
I had originally started off with Smith and Richards, Eddie and KB, then Birchfield and Hissner, JBJ and Chamberlain, Cano and Hamilton, Graham and Modlin at six, Rawls and Holland at seven, Harbaugh and Malone at eight, Windsor, Creek Killer, nine, and then 10 was Jacob Gore and Hunter Thorne. I am keeping Smith and Richards at one. They did enough to kind of prove it. Number two, I'm moving up fast, Cano and Hamilton. Yes. I think that, again, they showed enough to me that they were already my number five team. They mm-hmm. deserved to make it. They made the broadcast. Number three, I had them. I didn't even have them on my list, but I think they deserve that spot. I'm actually moving up Smith and Wiedenfeld there.
Yeah.
Again, just watching them play.
We're exactly the same on our first three.
Number four, I am going to keep Birchfield and Hissner. All right, just out of respect, maybe this was a hiccup. They've been playing well enough, and you don't win, two or three in a row, and make the finals.
Yeah, and they still
took
second in their bracket in the shootout doubles and stuff, so they're still throwing well.
Correct. Number five, I have JBJ and Chamberlain. Number six, I have Rawls and Holland. Number seven, I have a new team, Walker and Rione.
Okay.
Number eight, so they can stop complaining, I have Sammy Soto and Jackson Gore. Number nine, I have Harbaugh and Malone. And number 10, I kept Gore and Thorne.
Okay. So let's see.
So I took off Graham and Modlin and Windsor Creek Killer.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to insert Gore and Soto now, in my opinion.
So where are you putting them? So we have the same top four.
Top four, yeah.
Who are you going with five?
Five, I'm going to go Derek Holland and Alex Rawls.
Okay.
Six, I will go Eddie and KB.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I left them off, too.
Seven, I will go Gore and Soto. Eight, I'll give the nod to Rione and Walker. Nine, I'll go JBJ and Chamberlain. And then 10, just because of the weekend they had, let's go Davis Sorrells.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. You're on the hype train.
Honestly, just for these power rankings, they put together a really big weekend. So, give them the nod, and who knows if it can maintain. But I had no idea what to expect from Sorrells. I heard he was throwing pretty well, just didn't know it'd be enough.
Yeah.
And Eric Davis is clearly throwing very well.
I hear you. Sweet.
Sweet, 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 sweet.
All right, let's do, you want to do dramatic readings?
Sure.
Let's do it.
In a world where bean bags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
Addicted to Cornhole. After watching YouTube streams of both ACO and ACL the past couple weeks, I'd have to say, from a viewer's perspective, everything is better with ACO, from camera angles and scoring displays to audience interaction and announcers. Anyone with quick history on the two organizations and why ACL appears to be the premier league?
Good question.
So it's okay. So I would be interested to know if this is truly a newbie or if this is someone that's trying to rattle the cage, because the person that wrote this is Tessin Pro. So like, I don't know.
Never know, man. There's so many trolls out there.
All right. So if we're talking about live stream stuff, I've said for a while, I think the ACO does a very nice live stream stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But they've also been doing it for longer. If we're talking about like announcers and stuff, I do have to disagree. Like I just do. Like I've tried watching ACO broadcasts. I find myself most of the time just not listening.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but like the three camera that ACL has is better than than the two.
It's gotten better. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like the ACO quality for the live stream is not bad. Like I guess they have some production value, right? They got the court runner that's down the middle. You know what I mean, like they do a decent job of production value with what they have. But if you're wondering where like the premier organization is, like, I mean, were we watching the same guys throw? Yeah. Like, and again, this is not a shot at the ACO. This is not a shot at the ACO. I know that there is immense talent still over there. But the guys that were super successful in the ACO outside of
Jeremiah Ellis for a reason.
And I'm not saying that they were humbled, but like it took them a minute to get going. So I think the ACL has become the premier league in quotes because of just they have the majority of the top players.
Yeah.
That's literally what it comes down to. You can make an argument for which broadcast like you like better, but there's and they're the premier league because like they're on ESPN. Like they're the ones everyone knows about.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's seen professional cornhole before and they're not like in the know, it's going to be the ACL that they've heard of, not the ACO.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree.
You don't just stumble across the ACO on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like you might stumble across it on ESPN though.
Very true.
I don't know. All right. You ready?
Very true. Sure. Addicted to cornhole. Could Cody Henderson possibly be my new favorite player to watch? That stare down after Fisher went off on the F-bombs, and then right after Cody starts F-bombing himself. Hilarious. Loved it. I kind of hope I felt like what he thought he sounded like when he was typing it out in his head.
I think he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I love... When you get to see Cody Henderson doing antics, that means he's throwing very well. And makes me excited to watch cornhole when Cody Henderson's throwing well. I don't know about you, but he's great for the game.
He is. And again, it's more of like an old school mental warfare. Like you talk to him off the court. Cody Henderson's like as cool as they come, man. Like super interesting, down to earth, really nice person.
For sure.
But when you get him on the court, the competitive side comes out. And the competitive side, be a little bit of a dick. It's okay. He doesn't care. He's okay. We've asked him before. He's okay with being the heel. He's okay with being the villain.
Yeah, he does not care.
He thrives off of that shit.
He would rather just win. And he'll do it any way he knows how.
He seems like the kind of guy with a personality that he's actually going to perform better if people are booing.
Yeah, for sure. He's like, oh, yeah, let me have it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's okay with it. And he's been around the block, so he's a tough out. But I love seeing Cody Henderson back.
Well, people don't realize that, like, way back in the day when he first started coming around with Adam and stuff, like, they were going around to places and just destroying everyone. So, yeah, he lived through the heckling on his entire, like, cornholedom coming up.
Well, I like that. Cornholedom? You just kind of let that rattle.
Sometimes I make up words.
Okay. Let's do it. Last one. Jordan Power. Imagine Titan Mags making the dart so good that other pros from other companies are bitching about us throwing these. Here I got something for y'all. I forgot it was in my pocket. Middle finger emoji.
And
so this was an interesting one.
Yes.
So I'm assuming, because I think one of the things Titan Bags does as well as, if not better than anybody, is market their bags. I think they're very good at it and they're very clever.
And they have a theme
I would think that this is part of a larger marketing scheme to get attention on this bag, right?
Oh yeah.
You post something as innocuous as this, right? Just get people riled up. What does that do? It draws interest to the bag. Like, why is everyone complaining about it? Is it that good?
Yeah.
Now I will say it would have gone over way better had Jordan Power not gone like 0-2 in singles right away.
Yeah.
And like had they done a little bit better in doubles, right? But I do find it interesting if pros were actually complaining about it or saying something.
Well, I mean, even if they were complaining about it, it's not illegal.
Is it illegal if it hasn't been released to the public yet?
It's not because it's already been through and approved.
So as long as that bag.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Technically,
bag makers could have a series that they only let their pros throw and they never have to sell to the public.
Is that true, though?
Yeah. I mean, I would think. As long as they pay for it.
I'd be interested. If someone knows the answer to that, I'd be interested. I don't know if it's... Somebody had mentioned something that they thought that it had to be released to the public before they
could throw.
Now, Jordan and Joe apparently had gotten this cleared with the event director. There's no problem with that, so whatever. But I'm wondering, is that a legit rule?
My thing is, how can you withhold that bag from the pros throwing it when they were probably the ones like throwing the prototypes? That's the bag they wanted created. And it went through the entire testing process of the ACL, has been approved, granted the stamp, so they're able to put it in production. They just haven't released it to the public.
Yeah.
That's called like just being privileged.
Yeah. I really think that this was probably just a really good marketing scheme.
Yes, for sure.
And I think
it's genius. People chirping about it and they're like, oh, what's the dart now? Like, I'm going to go on.
Oh, 100.
So is this available?
And it just kind of fits with Jordan Power's MO a little bit. Sure. So I think this was a very clever marketing. So
no, I did not mind it at all. I thought it was, pretty funny.
Hell yeah.
And as always, those dramatic readings are brought to us by Big D Bags.
Sure.
I forgot to read it before, but Sean's wearing the hat.
Sure am.
So yeah, we always say fill your hands with some Big D's. Go over to bigdbags.com and grab yourself a set today.
Yep. All right. So we have some bags to review, and this bag review is going to be brought to you by Gnarly Bags. If you are in the market for a new set of boards, if you go to gnarlybags.com, they can help you out. They have pro level boards with consistent playing speeds and awesome printing. Really everything you're looking for in one sweet location. So go to gnarlybags.com, grab your set of boards today, and you won't be disappointed.
Snarly, bro.
Use code BIGASP, and you'll save yourself 10%.
Snarly.
Gnarlybags.com. All right. So you want to do the bag reviews now?
Let's.
And it's not just making them smaller. They completely reshape them. They make them more supple and symmetrical.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
All right, so the bags we have up today, we have two series of bags by 2N Cornhole. I believe they're out of Montana, maybe.
Is it 2N?
I think, maybe.
There's mountain ranges.
There are.
So that's a good guess.
So the first thing that drew my attention to these when I was scrolling through is that they're golf themed. And I'm like, fuck yes. Like, this is exactly up my alley. So today we have the driver 1.0 and we have the putter. All right. So we have the two ends of the spectrum.
I barely know her.
So let's start with the driver because that's a terrible joke.
Driver. I barely know her. That one's better. Damn it.
All right. So we have the driver 1.0. It is, right out of the bag, so I could tell they broke them in a little bit, which we greatly appreciate. Indeed. It is a herringbone carpet bag with a Viper slick side. The one thing I really liked about this bag, as soon as I picked it up, I really like his fill.
Yeah, it's a little girthier,
yeah.
But man, it definitely helps the bag just kind of pour in, and having that Viper slick side definitely helps too.
Again, I'm not a huge herringbone guy. No. I'm coming around on it now that I throw a flatter bag.
Yeah.
And I am coming around on it a lot. And on my boards,
moving a little bit,
my boards are
stupid fast.
Stupid fast. Yeah. These were playing money speed for me, so I threw these very well. But I tell you what, it did everything I wanted. And it coming out of my hand, it felt very nice.
Yeah.
It has a very nice template. This is, compared to the two bags, this is the smaller of the two templates. Like pretty average size closing seam, very clean edges, slightly rounded corners, but relatively squared template.
Yeah.
made for very easy. It played pretty big on the board, so I could grab the bags pretty easily. It definitely cuts left to right, right to left. You can get it to bounce a little bit. The nice thing is it does have a little bit of, like I said, that blended fill. It does have some round in there. So you do get a little bit of the action that you miss sometimes when you go to like all the flat disc stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're someone like me and you need all the help you can get out of the fill to get a bag to really react on the board, this is something you might want to consider. It's not stamped. They're a smaller bag company, but if you're looking for something just to try,
dude,
and you're like, you're not somebody that plays in like ACL or ACO regionals, or you're not in the TCL and you're just looking, you just want a good solid bag to go join league night. You're looking for a really good set of bags for like your backyard play. Like I'm telling you, these are very well made.
Heck yeah.
Not often do we get first sets of bags from somebody relatively newer that I'm pretty impressed with,
especially the quality. With herringbone, because that's not an easy.
Yes, I'm saying, man. It's really well done. These were very well made. You can tell these are handmade. This is somebody that is grinding and it's put in time and research into making bags, and I respect that. And he makes a really nice. It makes a really nice bag. I was very impressed. I really like the color scheme. We have a gray on gray.
Yeah,
he's got like this wildcat swinging a driver that's like just jacked and I think looks it's angry.
A bobcat.
Yeah.
I think it's bobcat, Sean.
Sorry. Thanks. I thought maybe mountain lion. I don't know, but you think you're right. It looks it's nice. It played really well. I was pleasantly surprised whenever I see and I'm pulling a herringbone bag out of the bag. I went, fuck again. Yeah. Like,
but this one,
yeah. I mean, again, I've thrown this fabric combination.
Yeah,
with this is always this is what it comes down to is template and fill. It feels really nice. It does a really nice job.
No, I'm there with you.
So design score. What are you going with?
Design for me. Dude, I like it, man. Give me like a 98.
Yeah, I'm going 95. It's very solid. I like it for a stock design. Really nice.
Yeah,
I like
for
it.
For sure.
And our logo is at the top corner, mm-hmm. So just add a little flair. Performance-wise, again, herringbones historically has not been my favorite material. I think as we see the scores over time progress, I'm becoming more of a fan just because, again, like I throw a better bag now. I threw this well, man. I'm going to go with an 84.
Okay.
Which is pretty good score for me for a herringbone.
Yeah. Bag. I'm going to go 78 on it.
I'm a big fan of this fill.
Yeah.
Like the feel of the bag feels very nice. I enjoyed this one immensely. All right. So the next bag we have is the putter.
Again, like same, like longer closing seam at the top, but not, doesn't impend anything, like impede anything.
Can you reach the Siva ones? They're right on the, I think you tossed them in that bag.
I have some right here.
I know, but I wanted to see, oh, you have the other one? No. The series that we just reviewed. I want to see, is it the same carpet that's on there?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because it's a little bit, this stuff is, it's a hybrid carpet, I would consider it, but it's not the same stuff. Okay.
Not quite, but.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with it.
It has like a higher rub count, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's like the reverse of that or something. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a little bit thicker.
It's like a textured hybrid.
I've thrown this before, and I cannot fucking remember what bag it was on. Because I don't think they ended up going with it. Like, I feel like it was a batch of stuff that I've had.
Yeah.
But it's a thicker hybrid car. It plays very nicely, though. It plays very consistent. And I tell you what, this shit is hole friendly as fuck. Like, if it's hanging on, it was very easy to drag.
Yeah.
Not many things were hanging up.
It's surprising. Like, you wouldn't think it would move as much as it actually does the board. But
it's like a thicker material. So I was thinking, like, there was a situation where first bag was a block, went to go slide through it. I was a bitch, and I hung it up. So I had two bags right in front of the hole. Threw slick side down. I thought for sure it was gonna bunch up. Man, they all melted right in the hole. Like one after the other. I was very impressed with how well this stuff performed. I was able to cut it really, really well. Mm-hmm. Again, he has another blended fill, but this one actually feels like maybe there's a little bit more flat disc in there. Like it has a slightly different.
It's hard for me to kind of feel because that
with the
that
material. Carpet,
yeah, that.
The template itself seems bigger. Now, again, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the colors and this material. But it does seem maybe just slightly bigger than the driver. It plays really big on the board. I was a big fan of this. It performed really well. I can see why if people might not be sold on this carpet right away. Because I'm imagining before this gets broken in at all.
Oh, it's probably rigid pretty fucking shit. Stiff. Yeah.
But tell you what, this is probably 50% broken.
This is a bag that you're never going to worry about anything popping through on that side or anything.
This is all 50% broken in.
Yeah.
And it played really, really nicely. You just got to get past that initial
point. I always respect people using new materials on bags, especially when they work.
Yep. So you have like this thicker hybrid carpet type stuff. And then on the slick side, you're having, your standard 8-9 slick side that we see on everything, right? Just the non-Viper stuff. So speed-wise for this, I would give it a good... I'm going to give it a 5. It was, to me, I normally grade like hybrid as like that 5.5. Yeah. I think this was just a little touch bit slower.
Yeah, I agree.
Just a little bit slower. I'm going to give it a 5. Slick side again, 8-9. Played huge on the board. Did everything you want a bag to do. If you're in the market for a hybrid bag, but you'd like to try different materials, I'm telling you what, try the putter out, man. It's
pretty solid. And unlike most hybrid carpets, I feel like this is actually going to slow down.
I think you're right.
I think it's going to slow down.
Especially in humidity, I'd be interested to see what this does.
This very well could be kind of a nasty little sticky bag.
I threw him before, but I threw him again one last time tonight just to kind of get a reminder. And of course, 70 degrees, beautiful, no humidity out, like the best day we've had like all year so far.
Thank you, Eclipse.
Yeah, no, thanks. All that stuff. Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did. It was
I wasn't going to.
I wasn't a fan of it. Like, I really didn't like get the hype. And then I watched it. I'm like, all right, it was pretty sweet. Like, I'm glad that
I was sitting in my office, had headphones on, typing away notes, catching up on stuff. And one of our doctors, named Dr. Young, like this tiny little Chinese guy, my buddy, walks in. He's like, you want to go see the eclipse? I'm like, I'm probably good. Like, I'm just going to keep typing notes. And I had, my wife had given me like two pairs of like solar eclipse glasses. He's like, but you have two sets of glasses. Like, you're not giving a look. So it guilted me going out to look. So I went out to look. It was, I mean, it was an eclipse.
Yep.
A big glowing circle, but yeah. Hope nobody went blind.
So I had this thought and I told Amy it earlier, but when I first looked up at like the eclipse, like when it was at its,
thing of the ring,
its peak, did it not, you thought of the ring?
Or Lord of the Rings or something?
No, I was thinking of like the ring.
Yeah.
The movie, The Ring. Oh, yeah. I'm looking up at it. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, here, look at this. Look at the text I sent her. I was like,
oh, for sure. It's
I was like, only thinking of the movie The Ring. I'm like, oh my God, is that what I'm staring at? But anyways,
the world's still here though.
Design score of this bag.
Oh yeah.
We just kind of got off topic, but I'm giving this one a hundo because it's got the moose on it, and I think the moose looks angry and I love it.
The blue and white really pops.
It does,
too.
Man. It prints.
And I don't
really
know what it is, but the blue, it just makes the bag seem huge, but it goes well with the blue carpet on the back. Carpet matching drapes. Got to be a big fan of that.
Performance for me.
Yeah, give me a 99.
99 for you? All right. Performance for me, give me an 82. I liked it.
I mean, I liked it, though, man. Give me an 85.
Go ahead.
I threw it really well. I mean, again,
I'm not going to stop you.
This is one of those I threw like 2 weeks ago, right? And like, it was nice enough today. I'm like, we're reviewing it tonight. I want to just get one last, just a reminder. I'm like, I remember I like these. And I had notes down on my phone. And then when I got out and threw them again, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, like, it's all holding true. And it was different. My boards at home are much faster than the ones at work. Mm-hmm. So it was holding up. And it was nice. Tip of the cap. Cue the rap horn. Go crazy. Then churching it up a little bit for us.
Sorry, it broke the rap horn.
Reach us at Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Big Ass Cornhole.
And Facebook, the last one that's left, at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Thank you again to our sponsors, DragonBags.com, to get some heat today. Drop code BigAsp12 to save 12%.
Black Sheep Baggers, go to BlackSheepBaggers.com. Grab yourself a set of sexy-ass bags. Go to Big Asp. Or use code BIGASP and you'll save yourself some money. And if you're in the market for a new set of boards, well, we can find them over at Gnarly Bags. Go to gnarlybags.com, use code BIGASP, and you're going to save yourself 10%.
And last but not least.
Definitely not least.
Big D Bags. Don't be one. Throw them.
You know, he's giving me shit about, like, stop being mean to the ACO guys, man. I'm like, I'm not trying. So we're going to have an episode in the future, right? Yeah, I pitched him this idea.
With some ACOs.
With Mr. Big D Bags, yeah. And so what I want to do is, I've had golf on the mind, right? Mm-hmm. We watched the full swing, like, all ramped up. I'm like, what if we hypothetically put together Ryder Cup teams, right, of ACL, ACO, and TCL? Are they comparable? Like, do we, like,
could we?
Let's really dig into the town. So we're going to have a roundtable discussion with John, and then we're gonna find one other human to join us. But it'll be a good time. Another I always enjoy talking with Mr. Big D Bags himself.
Hell yeah.
Schnitzel Popper Sinsker Naderski, if you're not familiar with him.
Nailed it.
So Patreon, if you're asking yourself, well, God, these guys are incredibly good looking and their voices are amazing. How can I support them? If you go to patreon.com/bigasscornhole and for the price of a beer a month, you can get some bonus content. We've been rifling off some bonus episodes at least once a week. We have another bonus episode up again this week. This week is going to be Mr. Ryan Smith,
Studley. Yeah.
So if you're looking, and the nice part is if you're looking for like some video content, our bonus episodes are video based. All right. So we post the video up for the bonus episode. So this week's going to be Ryan Smith. So if you're looking for some bonus content, some stickers, you want to do a happy hour call with us, which are some of our favorite things. I think the happy hour call is probably going to come up next week. I think it's that time of the month. Ooh. I'm jonesing for a happy hour call.
Wake up.
So
it's the first of the month. It's not, but it's okay.
So, go to patreon.com. You can get bonus stuff like that. Dane will send you a message. How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Easily.
So we just opened Pandora's box. So go to bigasspornhole.com/ Well, that's not it. Patreon.com/bigasspornhole. And we've been talking for too long. Like, I'm just like, wow, I don't even. I'm
moving on. Yeah. Up next, we got Gavin Cano and the Big Fish.
Mr. Fisher Hamilton. I'm excited to have them on. I've been talking to Gavin for off and on for a bit just to try to pin him down. So I was happy that they won. They agreed to hop on. So it should be a killer interview. Looking forward to it. Hope you guys enjoy.
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later. Welcome back to the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. We're now joined by Mr. Gavin Cano. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Nothing. We were expected to have your doubles partner with us, but he's probably tied up in a blind draw. So he might be hearing Fisher just drop in at some point, but we'll be live and ready to go. So we figure we get things going. So
welcome in.
Yeah. First of all, it's been a long time coming, man. We've been following your journey for like the last two seasons. We've been talking, you know, pretty high praises about your game. And I think that right now, currently, like you're one of top two players in the world. Like, do you feel like, do you have like that sense of confidence right now? Like, do you feel like that's where your game's at?
I do. I feel really confident in my game. You know, last year I had a bunch of ups and downs, and after the World Championships last year, I wanted to come in this season with a bang, and I started that with the Opens, winning a couple brackets, and I've won a couple brackets actually.
Yeah, a lot.
And now I just trying to build that confidence in the Nationals, and it's obviously paid off so far.
What is it like? What do you think it has been so far? Like, what's been like the hurdle that you need to get over? Like, is it a confidence thing? Like, is it a nervous thing? Is it just a shitty luck? Like, you're just always playing the guy that's just like red hot that day. What do you think it is?
I think it's just my mental game. Mentally, last year I wasn't good. I wasn't really good. I was always in my head, you know, thinking, overthinking. But this year I try to come in here, like wear headphones when needed and wear headphones when not to. So like just not wearing headphones sometimes and wearing headphones sometimes.
So when I watch the Nationals this week, I have my phone, like I have like a notepad, like on my phone open. Right. And I just randomly type stuff. And at one point during your match in doubles, it was when I'm trying to remember who you guys were facing off. It was towards the end. Who did you guys face in the finals for doubles? I'm blanking out.
For this weekend?
Yeah.
Derek Holland and Alex Ross.
That's right. So I remember thinking to myself, I wrote down, I'm like, Gavin kind of looks like the best player in the world right now. You had like a little bit of like, you weren't worried. Like, you know, they made a little bit of comeback, you know, it was a close game, but like you just had that look in your body posture was like, don't worry, Fish. Like, I got it. Like, cause Fisher was struggling a little bit and like, you know, round two, and you could tell he was in his head but you weren't going to give him the opportunity to get the bags back. Like, you just look like you had that posture, that killer mentality. That was something I needed to see to move you up like the power rankings. Cause like, we all know like you're crazy talented, right? But it's been like this little mental hurdle, it seemed like, and you're a huge, you're dead giveaway posture and face wise when you're on a broadcast, if you're nervous. Cause you try so hard to make it look like you don't care, but like, we know you care, right? Like, I mean, it's a big deal. Like, everyone wants to be successful. So I think it's a big step showing that you have the maturity to understand that like, oh, it's my mental game's weak right now, but I got to work on it.
Yeah.
Are you doing anything specific to like, to work on it, to try to improve on that stuff?
No, I'm just, so back on that topic to where you're talking about the Nationals, like my posture and like on the live stream and stuff, like this past weekend, I had it, like my confidence was at an all time high.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Especially in doubles, because after I won my singles bracket the day before, I was like, okay.
You play loose, right? I mean,
yeah, I played super loose. And I think Fisher fed off of that because Fisher was rolling as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I was just telling Fisher, like, because Fisher, we were up 17-13, and then Fisher gives us a tick spot. And then Alex misses a bag, and then I go in, he misses another bag. And then I go in, and Alex calls timeout or whatever, and I tell Fisher, I told him, I'm going to win this game right here.
Oh, yeah.
For you. And we were down four. It was 19-17. And that's what happened. And that's when I knew I was just all-time high confidence.
Right well, there. Rawls knew it, too. I mean, you could see. Yeah. As soon as Rawls fucked up that first bag, he's like, oh, shit. And then had the other one. I'm like, oh, this could be and everyone watching the live stream knew the game was over. I'm like, as soon as Rawls missed the two bags, I'm like, oh, well, this is probably over now. Because, again, posture-wise, attitude-wise, everything just seemed like you knew like you were the best player in the building that day. And it just and you were playing like it. And it's a good thing to see like you moving in that direction. But, like, I don't know. You check out books or something or get over this hump. Cause I mean, like, clearly you can do it. Like, you have the talent to get there. You know what I mean?
Well, now if we were talking before.
Yeah.
This is different than any other national we've experienced.
Yes.
So you win your bracket. 2 weeks later now will be the final games.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the difference maker.
You had an interesting point before we started recording. Dane asked you straight up, do you like that? Like, do you like the fact that there's a wait? And I think if you were to poll the pros, I think 99% of them would say, no, I want to play it that day.
Yeah.
But you had an interesting answer. What was your answer?
I said, I like it because I get to get my mind right.
Yeah, it's great, though. I mean, I think you're right. Like, and honestly,
I think some people would be shitting bricks for 2 weeks, though.
Do you like your – okay, let's go here for a second. Do you like your situation right now? Because we're cornhole losers, right? We pay attention to this stuff. Like, I consider you, like, one of the best top two players in the world. But going into this finals, do you feel like maybe just a little bit, like, you're not getting as much attention as maybe you could?
I mean, I could really care less, honestly, about the attention. I just like to let the bags play.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not, you gave mad props to Jeremiah Ellis before. Guy's on fire, right? It's right. Like if Jeremiah runs through the thing and ends up winning the first national, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go on Facebook for like the next month.
Yeah.
Because it's just like that. Like it's just
going to be. Ellis will be.
But again, I think you're in a great spot right now. I think you're playing just as well as Jeremiah right now. But everyone's expecting Jeremiah to do this, and they would expect you. Like, I think you coming in, not necessarily the underdog, but like maybe a little bit, you can use that bulletin board material a little bit to get over the hump.
Yeah, for sure. Ellis is, he's crazy good. Like, I watch him, and just like the way he fires himself up is absolutely insane. But going into this thing, if he wins it all, I mean, props to him, but I think I'm ready for this.
Oh, yeah.
Last year at Worlds, you know, after I lost in the doubles, I had a mental breakdown.
Are you ever a chirper? Like, do you ever talk a little bit when you're playing?
I can get.
Okay. It's got to be like in the right situation kind of thing.
Yeah, I would actually like to.
And I do not mean this as a shot, but like you personality wise, you strike me like you'd be good at it. Like, cause you have a little bit of swag when you play. Like, so I feel like, I don't know. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it would fit your game very well. Just to chirp, not talk like crazy, but just a little bit. You know what I mean? But I think you do a very good job sometimes letting the bags do the talking. So, but letting people know.
Yeah. I almost did chirp this past weekend. It was Brad Kurth, AAR owner, and it was playing against Trzynski, and he was just kept bouncing off. I could hear him through my headphones.
Really?
And yeah, so the first round of the game, he was like chirping in my bag swing, and I scored six first round, and I just like, as I'm putting in the score, I just stare him down for like 3 seconds, and I just shake my head.
Do you like that though? Does that fire you up a little bit? You like?
Yeah, it does. It does. I try to fire myself up too. That's another part of the mental aspect. I try to fire myself up in the head.
One player I've compared you with a lot, like over the last 2 years, and I don't know if you have listened ever, is you reminded me a lot of Devin Harbaugh when he first started in, because everyone knew how talented he was, but like he would play himself out of certain games, and I felt like he just played dumb at times, and he like needed to learn how to win the whole fucking thing. And then once he got over the hump, now he's like, you know, widely considered one of the top players in the country. Your rookie year, you reminded me a lot of Devin Harbaugh, but I feel like your acceleration has been so much faster, and it's super impressive. I don't give props very easily. Like, I'm pretty, like, I like to be critical of players because, you know, like, that's all we get to do on a Cornell podcast is, like, you know what I mean, hide behind a mic and talk shit. But like, your improvement from like already being like a top tier talent to be like, oh hey, maybe this kid can be like a top 15 player, like consistently, to being like, oh shit, is he the best player in the world? It's been like sneaky fast. So it's super impressive, and it's clearly you're working on the stuff from last season into this one. So it's good to see, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Last year I put in a lot of work. You know, I used to wake up at 10 a.m. play bags at this place called Stuck Garden in Texas City, Houston area, all the way up till the blind draw, till when the blind draw ends at like around 11 p.m. midnight. And it was a grind for real. I used to play with a bunch of my buddies. I want to shout them out, actually.
Please.
Jonathan Segura, Justin Burton Jr., and Felix Boy Vargas. People helped me. They helped me out a lot.
I'm like, familiar names.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. You went there. So I'm going to just bring it up now. So like, it's not like, it doesn't seem like I'm just bringing this up organically.
Yeah.
You got your start with a lot of like TCL stuff. So do you ever plan on playing in TCL stuff again? Like obviously travel schedule for ACL gets kind of crazy, but is it something that like you'll play if you're available, or if it's, you know, makes sense to kind of go there?
Yeah, I've gotten this topic a lot, and, I don't think I'm going to try to play it again.
Okay.
Just because when I did play, I played two events and I was just getting a lot of chirps that was unnecessary.
And ironically, the two events you played at, we were at both.
Yeah, we were at
both. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Yeah. I didn't know that those were like your own.
For the record,
two.
We weren't chirping.
No.
yeah.
No, not like chirping like in game or anything, but like after like I did kind of not high expectations, like I just got negative comments, like,
yeah, people like to make you know, realize it. Like this.
You were on my radar when you beat Grant Upchurch at one of the TCL events, like in singles, and Grant was up pretty big, and you came back and won, and I'm like, oh shit, like he's okay, like so it's like just like okay, maybe I should start paying attention a little bit more to where he's at, because I mean at the time Grant's always been like kind of like the
ho-hum,
the prince just, of the TCL, you know what I mean? Like kind of an OG legend kind of thing. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't, how long in general have you been playing?
Like I've been playing around 3.5 years. I think 3.5 years. I started June 2021.
That's great. And now were you, I'm assuming you were into other sports and stuff growing up. So if so, like what else were you playing?
Let me guess. Yeah. Let's guess.
Baseball for sure.
Yeah. Baseball for sure.
You're not a baseball
I played baseball when I was little.
All right.
When I was little.
Okay, basketball? Football?
Basketball. That's what I played.
Okay.
All right.
Were you a football guy at all?
I played football in middle school.
Okay.
Defensive back?
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say.
No, safety? I was a receiver.
Oh, really? Okay, you got hands. All right.
He does have swag.
Yeah. All right.
He plays like a receiver sometimes. Yeah. I get that. Okay. Yeah. What position in basketball do you play?
I usually played point guard, shooting guard. I usually handle the ball, but we had somebody on our team, varsity. He was a smaller kid. We called him KP. He was pretty good at handling the ball. So I usually just played the two. I was pretty good at shooting the rock too.
Shoot. I mean, if you call it the rock, then I mean you got to be good at it, right?
Let's see here.
It's like Sean and I were always good at passing the pill. It's a rugby ball.
I think that's a little old school term, the rock.
That's okay.
But I feel like it's timeless, though.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Even young dudes today would still know what you're talking about.
I mean, I feel
about.
Like the game that made that famous was NBA Street back on the PlayStation 2. Because they always used to say, like, pass the rock in the game and shit. Like,
oh. Yeah. NBA Street, or have y'all played NBA Jam?
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Yes. Have you played NBA Jam before?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
NBA Street like was like in our heyday. I would say NBA Street was in our heyday of like PlayStation 2.
Oh, dude, yeah, that was like
one of my favorite games of all time
for sure. And then like MLB Slugfest.
All right, so let's go random questions. You're familiar with NBA Street, the game, right?
Yeah.
Who is your squad? Who are the two the guys that you're going with?
Ah, it's tough. I'm a huge LeBron guy, so I'd always pick LeBron.
Which, first of all, can I just say that you're in good company here with that? Yes. And fuck everyone else that doesn't like LeBron. Why don't you like LeBron James?
Exactly.
All the guy does is like good things in his community. He doesn't have any drama in his fucking life. He's married to his high school sweetheart. His kids are successful. Like, what's not to like about? So he flops sometimes. So does everyone in the fucking NBA. Get over yourself. He's 6'8". He's a guy.
Guess what?
Like,
he also likes soccer. So he's just trying to take a page out of the book.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like, anyway, sorry. That was just a, I never get to rant about that, but I figured you're on and I was just waiting for my chance to do it. So thank you. It was like a T-ball game.
Yeah. Back on that topic, though, I just want to say LeBron is the GOAT. I don't think there's any debate. He's just so good. He's the best basketball player to ever play the game, in my opinion. And anybody that got something to say different, I don't care. I don't want to hear your opinion.
Fair enough.
All right. So serious question. Somebody asked this on Facebook. I'm trying to find the question, but I remember it. If you and Fish were playing one-on-one in basketball, who's winning?
So we have played basketball before, but not one-on-one.
Okay, I got you. Is Fish pretty good?
He's pretty good.
He's big.
Played in high school. But he's huge. And I'm like,
I get it.
Nowhere
it's
close a different skill. As tall as him.
Correct.
So he'd beat him, though, right? No, you'd beat him.
Oh, it was Tornado. Tornado actually wrote that question. All right.
He'd beat
All right, all right, let's say you two are on a team in NBA Street. Name the other two ACL pro team that could take you guys out or give you a game.
I love this. They don't have to be pro partners, though. They could be any combination.
Yeah, any combo.
They actually are pro partners, though.
Okay.
I like this.
Noah Wooten and Noah Almanza.
Really?
Okay.
Noah, both of them are actually pretty good at basketball. We played a couple times.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. Okay. I knew that about Wooten. I did not know that about Almanza, though.
Almanza.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me though.
Yeah,
and now with the long hair, like I just feel him. Like he's not stepping out. Like it's all threes.
You know he looks like that European on the team, but he's not European, obviously. But it's just the hair.
This is actually, I don't think I've ever asked this question before. Brian Schermeister with a solid one. How long does your go to set of bags last? Like, when do you replace it? Like, are you with the same set of bag or like two sets of bags for the entire season, or do you like? You replace them pretty regularly.
I have a set that I've had since like the start of the season, the blue and pink ones.
Okay.
And they're lasting me a while, but they are pretty sticky, which, you know, gets kind of tough towards the end of tournaments. But I'd probably say they last me the whole year, honestly, unless I get some new bags, which I do get new bags, but I just hate breaking bags in. There's no better feeling than the bags you originally broke in.
Rich and Graham are screaming right now. They're like, you're supposed to replace them weekly. Weekly.
Do you have a method or anything, or you just throw it until it feels good, or do you wash them, or?
I like to use Toss Sauce.
Okay.
Toss Sauce. And sponsor. I like to just put them in the washer with nothing, just regular water a couple of times. It'll flow down the carpet. Yeah.
How did you find the boards this weekend? I mean, just from watching broadcasts, and it seemed like they were on the slower side. Was that the case?
Yeah, they were super tacky. Like, it was crazy.
You think that had to do with the humidity or the boards just, you know, second year on them? They're just going to be that way the whole season.
I think it was just second year boards, honestly.
Okay.
There wasn't that many people in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a huge venue. But it wasn't that many people in there.
So I would consider, like, I don't know, because your game has adapted. Like, you guys, what I would once have considered like a dirty bag player, right? Like that role style player. You guys have all adapted to, now you guys are all like dirty bag players. Once upon a time, were winning games throwing like sevens.
Well, dirty bag players.
You guys are all throwing
tens.
Like fucking 10 fives and still doing that. Do you like when the boards are tacky, or for you, does it matter anymore? Because like it doesn't seem like your strategy is changing at all.
No, it doesn't really matter. I'd honestly prefer stickier boards rather than fast boards, because if I play on fast boards, like a slick bag player can just keep sliding. But if they're sticky, I can actually like block and like force a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. That was a good question. How many times have you changed your grip or throw since you started playing?
Honestly, I've only probably changed my grip about once.
Okay.
So when I first started playing, you know, I had some weird type grip. I'd throw the bag oddly. And ever since then, like, Justin Burton Jr. showed me his grip, and I've just fed off that and just kept the same thing. I put so many hours into, like, trying to get the right spin and all this, and I just haven't changed it at all, and it's worked.
Between you and Fisher, who's more talkative?
Gavin Cano. Yeah, for sure. But once he gets to know Fisher, he'll start talking.
I mean, he's been silent this whole time.
It's been pretty. I know he's
yeah, but I'm the same way. I'm usually quiet, like super quiet, but I do talk more than him.
Let's see, who are the who are your favorite top three elite players? All right, and then let's take the favorites out. Who are the best top three elite players in your opinion?
So number one would have to be Austin Moskow for me.
Okay.
That's my guy.
He's from Texas?
Yeah, he's
right? From Texas. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Number two would have to be Quinn Reeves. That's my guy as well. Okay. And can I go with two more?
Yeah, go ahead. We can give an honorable mention if we need to.
I'll say Tony Forbes and Spencer Fabnar.
Okay, very solid.
Yeah.
All like crazy talented dudes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like it's, if you think it, like, do you ever sit back and think, cause like you find yourself in a pretty comfortable position, right? It's like, if you want to continue being pro, as long as you're throwing how you are, you're going to be a cornhole professional. Like as long as there's a league around.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about like 5 years from now, like just if the league's already stacked, like 5 years from now, like first of all, it might not even be 256 of you guys anymore. It might end up getting cut down. Who knows? And if it gets cut down, like just how stacked it's going to be. Like, have you noticed just in your 2 years in the league now going, this is your third, correct?
This is my second year. Last year.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. So going into like, do you notice a difference like in talent level, like just around?
Yeah, it's very noticeable. This year's pro field is crazy. And then there's a bunch of elite players that are crazy talented. I can beat anybody in the league right now.
Let's see. All right. So Samuel Martinez, he has a good question. He said, you've always been tapped in with the culture. How can we grow the game through social media, and who do you feel is doing it the best right now?
So what I actually like came up with an idea, but I don't know how to go about it, mm-hmm. is like starting like vlog cornhole tournaments and starting to do like daily cornhole tournaments, like blind draws and doing all that, like how some YouTubers do like vlogs. I think that would be a good way to like build up the culture of cornhole and everybody see how like the community is and how like unique the game is. Like there's roll bags and airmail.
You know how you start? You buy something that holds your phone and you start shooting video of yourself.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it doesn't need to be high production stuff at first. Like you start off at a level and start posting stuff on YouTube and stuff. People will follow. I mean, you're a popular player. You're a well-known player. People are going to follow the stuff. And then as you get like, you'll learn how to edit and you'll start researching and it's fun. Like, right. Mm-hmm. We love doing it. Like that's one of my favorite things to do is that when I get time to actually do videos and come up with reels and memes, like there's, it's so much fun. And we're 100% self-taught. If we're two assholes from Cleveland, if we can figure out how to do all this shit that we've done, like on social media, for sure you can do it. You have a phone. Everyone has a camera, like a high definition camera in their hand at all time. Just start shooting video. It doesn't need to be perfect at first. I think sometimes you seem like you're a little bit of a perfectionist too, right? Like I have the same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to get over the fact that the first few aren't going to be perfect, but sometimes the raw videos are almost better.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you gain a fan base.
Start posting.
I think it's a great, we've been clamoring for that, man. Like you are a very personable dude. I would not have known that because you don't do shit on social media.
Yeah,
but you're super marketable. Like, you know what I mean? Like you should be marketing. Like think how much more money is from sponsorship you're going to be worth as already a top tier player. And if you're posting up on social media, shit, man, like you write your own ticket for a sponsorship, make Rich and Graham bust out the checkbook, man. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. And the person that I'd say is probably doing the best right now, it would have to obviously be Adrian Johnson.
Yes.
He's He's taking that social media game to another level with this TikTok and this Facebook.
He grinds. You know what I mean? He works at it. And he's very good at getting B-roll film and coming up with creative ways to do it. And he's consistent. I can't tell that people enough. Like, if you're trying to get in social media stuff, consistency matters. If you're not posting at least something every day.
Frequency is a thing.
Man, you get lost in the algorithm. It sucks, but it is a thing. That's why it's so hard to grow, like, new pages and new companies. And if you're listening to the show and you're just somebody that scrolls through and you see content, just follow the fucking page. Mm-hmm. Give it a like. Like, little things like that in a community that we're all trying to grow goes a long way, man. It really does. Like, so give it, I mean, and while you're, I mean, give Gavin a follow if you haven't. Friend request him on Facebook or something. Yeah, I mean, follow him. What are your handles? Like, you're on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff?
My Instagram is just Gavin Cano, and my TikTok is G3CNO. I try to post on TikTok quite a bit. I was actually trying to get some clips from ESPN Plus, but I found out you couldn't screen record on there.
Yeah, there's ways you can't.
There's ways around it. You can't monetize it.
You can't though. Like, I've tried to like screen record, and they have like something that blocks it. It's pretty wild. Like, I'm kind of pissed. But because you're on it, like, I bet you could probably get a copy of it.
Yeah, I'd have to ask some questions.
Hey, just reach out to the ACL. Be like, hey Trey, like I was on here. Like, I would like to now get some video. I'm sure they would send you some clips, the highlight stuff. Hell yeah.
Or it's in your contract. Like, this is ours. No. We own you. Yeah, right.
So you obviously had a really successful rookie year, and then you go into this year like as your like first off season. I'm assuming for you it probably wasn't as difficult as some of the others. Did you have a certain way of like approaching the off season, trying to find sponsors? Did you find it difficult at all? What are you hearing like just from other peers?
I did find it kind of hard trying to get some sponsors, but I kind of just kept it simple this year. Just staying close to the people that I know that are going to take care of me, like Rich and Graham. Like, a big thing for me is loyalty, and Rich and Graham have been loyal to me since day one. They've always taken care of me. And as far as from like hearing from peers and stuff, I've seen a bunch of stuff on social media talking about how it's hard to get sponsorships, and it really is. You know, I don't see how a lot of companies are getting their money back as far as like putting into these players. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I know it's something we've talked a lot about on the show before.
Yeah, so. I'm sorry. Gavin, do you still have the game on? Did you see that tomahawk, like, putback slam that he just had? Holy shit. I'm sorry.
I can tell what's going on. Because I can see you out of the corner of this eye. I see his eyes look up. I'm like, oh, holy shit. But by the time I look, it's already done. So
what a play. You guys, if you watch SportsCenter Top 10, you'll know exactly which one we're talking about.
That and this is disgusting. Where UConn started. Did you actually did you go in with Purdue +7?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, they're only down 9.
All right, so I do have something to report here. So we had work party today for the Tribe home opener.
Nice.
Right? I grabbed a bag of Big League Chew that they had for everyone. Haven't had it since I was a kid.
Your mouth for like 2 minutes.
Dude. I grabbed a big old wad and I'm like, all right, let's try it. Fuck it. I'm gonna give a live report on it. It is trash. It's trash gum.
Well, has it just gone down in quality, you think?
Dude, like, again, you saw me chew it for like 2 minutes, done. Like, donezo. That's taste gone. Yeah. Disappointing.
Sorry, man.
I just wanted to report that. I haven't had it in a minute, so if you're thinking about switching up your gum game to Big League Chew, just
don't. Listen, I get it, man.
Just pass it.
See if there's anything else. Where are you at with this whole, like, because you're a pretty stationary player. Like, you'll step over, like, you have a hard push shot and stuff. Does the rule that the fact that they, like, allow the step over, like, does it bother you at all? Like, do you even care about it?
I do care about it, but not in the sense as all these other players. I mean, if somebody steps over the line, I'm not going to be.
Would you ever call for an official, like, if it was on a broadcast match?
Yes, I actually will.
I like that.
I have a couple of players in mind that if I do play them on a broadcast, I am going to call the official.
Okay, I'm not going to put you in that spot to make you say.
Yeah, all right, give me your top five players that you would.
We want you to come back on the show, so we're gonna be nice.
Let me see here. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else. I was looking pretty good.
All right, I have a good question.
Well, one guy says, no question, just tell him to keep up the great work. My fantasy team appreciates it. Is that weird for you guys?
Being on like fantasy,
like you're cool, like in fantasy leagues, right? Like, do you pay attention to any of that stuff? Like, do you like, oh, where was I drafted? Or like, oh, hey, here's where I'm at in this power ranking and like all that stuff. Like, do like when ACL drops like their power rankings, like, do you glance at it? Do you care?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care, but I do glance at it.
All right, that's fair.
Just I like for the fun honesty. Of it. I listen to around the ACL pretty much every week, and they do power rankings sometimes, and hearing my name on there is kind of like a good sign, I guess.
We're going to convert you to a big ass fan.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to listen to a better show, that's all right.
You and the 11 guys listening to the ACL one. Well,
they won't ask questions like this, guys. This next question.
All right. So this is what we call fun random shit. So we're going to fire to some random stuff. We'll all answer it. And then we always do like some sort of a tier talk. So we got to still figure out.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
It's what always happens.
All right. Would you rather fight Mike Tyson or sound like him for the rest of your life?
Is it like a full?
That's Mike Tyson.
I'm saying I can't even do full. It's full like a match, like no charity hugging event kind of thing. Like you have to like.
Oh, this is yeah. Street you're fight fighting. You're fighting Mike straight up.
So you have gloves on.
Yes.
Okay. Not that really matters.
That's true. Yeah.
I'd want to sound like him.
I know, man. But I'm like shit. I just wouldn't talk. I guess.
I feel like I would probably. Look like sound like him anyways.
Would people still listen with me? Would people answer this in the comments tomorrow? Would people still listen to it if I sounded like Mike Tyson?
I mean, we might get more viewership. People would be like, "Is that Mike Tyson?"
They have a big time guess just played off every time. Interesting. All right, so
all right, I don't know. Sean liked this one for some reason. We'll see. I feel like it's all gonna fall
on me.
Would you rather be able to eat only cream cheese or ketchup?
Oh, I hate both of those.
You don't like both of them? All right.
So now I got to choose one.
I know. Probably ketchup. And I hate ketchup.
I would go cream cheese.
I'm going cream cheese throughout too. Okay.
Just like, I'm thinking of like the vinegariness of cream cheese, like, or of ketchup, like compared to cream cheese. Like, yeah, I'm going to have, never mind. I'm not even going to go down.
I'm not a ketchup fan, like at all. Like the only thing I ever put occasionally a hot dog.
Yeah. Occasionally.
Yeah, like sometimes barbecue sauce, sometimes a little sriracha, something different, but I can't do ketchup.
All right, you're not a ketchup guy. I get it.
My parents used to like pay me to try like ketchup. Like they used to give like here's a dollar if you try this ketchup.
Okay, so are you a picky eater in general?
I am a very picky eater.
All right, so what are your like your go-to foods? Like what's in your wheelhouse?
I love Chick-fil-A. Like chicken, I probably eat that every day.
Pretty standard pick for a picky eater. Yeah. Chicken. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
So probably like chicken. I love pizza.
Fair enough.
Steak.
All right.
And a good burgers.
All right. That's so you're way. At a restaurant. You're ordering a steak, right? You're at a nice steakhouse, fancy dinner. You're all dressed up. You just won a national. What cut are you going with? And then what cook are you getting? And Dane, I want your answer as well.
Okay.
New York strip.
Okay.
And medium rare.
Well done.
Well done.
Dane?
I'm going.
Are you a bone in ribeye kind of guy? Or T-bone?
No, fucking T-bone. No. Classier than that shit. Are you serious? I was thinking maybe like full blown tomahawk.
Oh.
Right?
Okay. Well, what's your cook on it?
I'm going as rare as it.
Yeah,
it
I want can the,
legally allow.
I'm going to call it medium rare, but if it's still mooing, I want it mooing. Like if it's still like kind of twitching, like I'm good with it.
Yeah.
And I'm going with a buttery fillet. Like I'm not a steak guy, but a good fillet if it's done right.
Wife and I, like side note, went to this very fancy steakhouse.
Dane's bougie, by the way. So like he lives another life outside of the podcast that you guys don't know about. So that's talk about vlog content. That should be Dane's other life.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. So we went to, why am I blanking on the name? The Marble Room.
Okay.
Very nice.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. Got the filet mignon, and I told the waitress, I'm like, you tell the chef, make this thing the coolest temperature he can legally serve.
And fair enough.
She's like, I understand. That yeah. thing came back. Oh my God.
Now my wife, my wife would throw up. Like she wants it like shot, then cooked, and then shoot it again.
I almost went to the point where like the blood doesn't even come out of it. It's still so cold.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, it was money. But yeah, all right. That was
a tough relationship. Good.
Yeah. I think that was it for me. All right, so we'll have you answer this one first, Gavin.
Okay.
Who is the worst group of fans?
Oh. Just like that's a free answer?
Free answer, no, man. Like whatever
the worst group of fans.
Group it in any way that you want to.
This is the easiest question. Dallas Cowboys fans.
Okay, that's pretty high up
I
there.
I do like that, yeah.
Okay. This is tough. There's a lot of them to choose from. I'm gonna be very polite because you're on the show and I'm assuming you're a Houston fan, so I'm not gonna say Houston fans because like you guys all know deep down in your heart you fucking cheated and you really have nothing to cheer for.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Houston Astros. Houston yeah. Houston Astros.
No, I'm gonna go. For me, it's between Steelers, just because my wife is a Steelers fan, by the way, from Pittsburgh. So that's not part of it, but like that's I have to live and with it all the time.
That's AFC North rivalry right there too, though.
Yeah, but I think the worst though, I hate fucking Yankees fans, man. Like when they come to town in Cleveland.
You used to be one.
No, false.
Who was I a fan of? I was A-Rod.
I was always an Alex Rodriguez fan.
You wore a Yankees hat.
I've never owned a Yankees hat. Don't lie. Dude. Don't you dare lie. You fake Boston fucking fan. Over here,
Sean, again. Stop. I don't give like,
stop.
I liked when they won World Series. Sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Because why not? That's where our family's from.
I'm fully admitting I was always an Alex Rodriguez fan growing up. Yeah. I was not a Yankees fan. I do not like their fans, and we can all evolve over time, right?
It's okay. You wear a Yankees hat.
I don't know.
No, I think my pick would
stricken from the record. I want that
from top to bottom for me. Ooh. Michigan fans.
Oh, that's so. I'm an
Michigan
one.
University yeah. football fans.
Yeah,
specifically. Good
or
Lord.
Specifically, Jay Corley as a Duke fan. We're gonna get very specific.
We can't get out of the specific.
are y'all Ohio State fans?
I you know it's weird. Yeah. Growing
it doesn't
up,
even matter. I like Notre Dame more, but Michigan fans are that obnoxious. Like,
growing
just
up,
because I'm from Ohio,
I was always like a Notre Dame first.
Michigan.
But like as I've gotten
care.
Older, Ohio State's always been more like my following. But those are my two teams: Notre Dame and Ohio State.
For sure.
Been.
I mean, I still follow Notre Dame probably more closely than I do Ohio State. But yeah, it's just. They always
unless
make it a point to say
unless
something.
You went to one of the other big schools, we all kind of like Ohio State is like the only thing we get to cheer about every once in a while.
We are in Ohio, people, all right? It's like, it's very sad.
You guys in Texas win something every few years because you guys got like 25 fucking teams in every sport, so it makes it a little easier to spread it out a little bit.
All right, this one's a little philosophical.
Uh-oh.
Would you rather have a rewind button or a pause button for your life?
Oh, shit. So like, does it work all the time? Like do you only get to use it once?
No, I think it's it doesn't specify.
Hmm.
Probably a pause button.
You're young enough to say that. I'm going rewind only because I've said 1,000 times, like I'd go back. I had so much fun in high school and college. I'd go back and do it all again. Like even if I had to do everything the same way, I would do it all over again. Cause I had so much fun doing it.
Yeah. You would just be the forever Van Wilder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd be like,
no, I'm saying like if I would rewind and then go live my life again up to the end, have everything end up how it is.
Would
now.
You like live in a specific moment with the rewind button? Like over and
I
over
would,
again?
Probably sophomore year in high school.
And then like live that out through college.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is fun. Would you try to change things each time to see how it
would
play
out?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. So, no, not necessarily. Like, because I like how my life ended up.
Yeah.
So, if you change one thing, you have a butterfly effect, right? So, if I would use the rewind button if I could go back and do everything the same without changing it necessarily any way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, the friends I made, like, especially in high school, like, are still my best friends today. Like, I had way too much fun in college. I mean, almost got kicked out twice. So yeah. I mean, like they tried their best to kick me out. But yeah, and I, like even PT school and stuff like it's a pain in the ass working for free sucks. But yeah, I just had a lot of fun.
Fair enough.
Why would you go with the pause button? Are you just like content with where your life is at right now?
Yeah. And also, just sometimes, like, I kind of just wonder, like, I just, if it just paused, like, and I could just go through and see everything, that'd be interesting.
No, it would be. And I think it is a very deep question. Very deep. I kind of like it. Now,
I didn't answer.
I'm assuming you are a full time cornhole professional, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's fucking sweet, man. Like, I don't know how many of you guys can actually say that. Like, you guys are full time doing this.
It's more than you think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like it's somebody that's actually like making money doing it.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, it's not that, I don't think it's as prominent as everything else. So,
and then we have one more question before our tier talk that Sean's going to think of.
Oh, shit.
Would you date the hottest chick if she cheered for your rivalry team? Well, so, like, we already set our rivals here.
I mean, I married one.
So if they were part of that fandom.
I married one, so I mean, I have to.
You did marry one, though.
I did.
Sean married a Steelers fan over here, a girl from Pittsburgh.
No, I could not.
You couldn't marry a Dallas fan?
No.
Full transparency. If she actually gave a shit about football and she was like an active fan,
it would have been harder.
I really don't think.
You're lucky that she's a hockey fan.
Doesn't care.
We don't have hockey, and she'll cheer
me shit, but she doesn't actually care at all about football. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's great.
Yes.
It works out well.
Yeah, I would not.
All right.
Either.
So we're tier talk, yeah, right?
Tier talk now.
All right.
Now, Sean.
All right. So he's pretty knowledgeable. I think we have to go top five, right? And then if you want to throw an honorable mention.
Okay. But ooh.
Do we want to go starting five all time in basketball? Or do we want to go just best your top five players of all time? I'm going to leave it up to you, Dane.
Let's go starting five.
I like that better. Yeah. I like it. All right. Now, the rule is we'll let you start, right? Or do you want to start? You're allowed to repeat answers if you need to. I'm not allowed to repeat anything that Dane says. So Dane's going to start. So I can't repeat anyone that he says. You can do whatever you want. So Dane will start us off. I'll show you how it's done. You could throw an honorable mention if you have some guys that you're considering.
Yeah. Okay. Right. My point guard. Give me the gray white hope, Jason Williams.
God damn it. Are you fucking serious?
White chocolate.
Literally the name I was writing down right now.
Oh, honorable mentions, John Stockton. I'm going to go with Jason Williams because he's just kind of got the sauce.
All right.
Shooting guard. Got to give me just good old MJ. Can't go wrong with that.
Okay.
Small forward. I'm going LeBron. Then at the four, give me Tim Duncan.
Okay.
And at the five spot, Shaq, most dominant player of all time.
All right. At my one, I'm going Steph Curry, greatest shooter of all time.
See, I didn't want my point guard to have to score. Just make it look sweet when everyone else does the scoring.
My two, I'm going MJ. My three, LeBron James. My four, Kevin Durant.
Week.
My five.
Four, Kevin Durant? You're going power. There's nothing about Kevin Durant that's power forward besides his like 7 feet tall.
That team's unstoppable right there.
I mean, when he plays small forward, the S doesn't even stand for small. It's slim. It's just a slim forward.
All right.
Who was your five? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq Daddy is just...
So hard to not pick him.
I mean, you go back and watch him play, like, there's just not been another guy with his sheer just size that dominated the way he did. I mean,
I'm going to go a different route with this, just of guys that, like, I've always loved. So,
yeah, I mean, I definitely left off a lot. Obviously, we both did, but, like, how did I not say, like, I don't want to say him before you, so I'll let you fill it out first.
All right, number one, I'm going to go with Magic Johnson, right? I think he's just...
Yeah, I respect that, too.
Dominant. Number two, I think technically he was probably listed as a point guard, but in the style of play, and I give me Allen Iverson. I loved that, watching AI play. I mean, that was like... when I was a basketball fan, he was like...
He made the floater a shot. I mean,
number three, he never had the like success in the playoffs and stuff, but I was always a big fan of him, just... Young dude coming out of the league. Give me Tracy McGrady,
Like, I love that dude could just score buckets. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, my team doesn't have a whole lot of defense yet, but like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, outscore everyone.
Number four, I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go with Jokic.
Nice.
I just feel like the dude's just like too talented all around.
But again, you're putting Jokic at the power forward.
Yeah. And I'm going to go Hakeem Olajuwon at number five.
Hakeem the dream.
Got a few guys, stretch guys. So
I was thinking of maybe Dikembe at five.
But I was trying to, like, should I go all white? Like, just like that might be a little tough at some position.
This is Junis.
Bob Sura at shooting guard.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Mark Price at point guard. We might be struggling.
Stick right in Cleveland.
We'd be good with, like, power forwards and centers, but, like, finding, like, the skill position players would be a little tough.
Gotcha. I'd have to have, like,
Chetty Osmond at Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh, Deli Trey, baby.
For sure. Dude, thank you very much for joining us, man. This has been fun.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me.
It's been a long time coming. I know I mentioned, I talked to you in Detroit, I think it was. I think you were sitting there watching a game. I just randomly sat next to you. I'm like, hey, I just want to introduce myself. Like, I've watched you play a bunch. Like, and I know I tried getting on one other time, but like, just timing wise. So it's been kind of crazy. And then the fact that they weren't having like the Nationals and stuff. Made it a little weird timing wise, but it's been a long time coming, man. We've been a big fan of you. Power rankings say the same thing too. You know what I mean? We think very highly of your game.
Just keep trending in the right direction, man.
Yeah, man. I think that you got a good head on your shoulders, man. Like, you're super personable, and all it's missing that social media presence, man. And you'll be the ACL needs a face of the franchise, right? It's still open. Every time we think we have someone, like, look, Mark Richards, very nice guy, right? He's a little too, like, G-shucks for a lot of it. I think that, like, you
gotta have a little edge.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. I think you offer that. So, I mean, you get a little bit more active on it. I mean, like, maybe you take over that role, and I think it'd be a fun ride to see.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. That's a lot of confidence.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
I appreciate that, for real.
All right, so we'll let everyone else go. We'll have you hang on with us just for a minute. But as always, we hope you throw it straight. That's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.